This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Cindy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
PFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Seems like we were just doing a show not too long ago.
That's I think the show just ended, the one that we were doing on Sunday.
Anyway, we are back here. It's Wednesday noon Eastern time at Gillette Stadium, and we have a lot to talk about because the Patriots have concluded the 2007 draft and pulled off one of the biggest free agent coups.
Trades,
whatever. since this franchise started.
Who had 2 minutes?
And, what, Fred's first screw up?
Randy Moss is a Patriot, so...
Huge, Fred.
Patriot
Huge.
Nation is abuzz.
I wonder what the jersey sales are up to. I heard they were at 60 as of like 9
What's
o'clock Monday morning.
No, they were over 100.
Well over 100.
Do they have a number?
On Monday. On 60 yes. on Sunday. They don't have a number yet.
Yeah, they're all pre-orders.
I heard that they're trying to convince him to take 82, which was Graham's old number, but... I don't know yet.
He wants 84 or 18, probably.
Probably, which are both taken by prominent players. So we'll see.
I bet your Watson would sell his for the right price.
That's why. And I saw Watson. I was telling these guys. He was in the office the other day, Monday, I think. And I just saw him really quickly. He just said hello. And then as soon as he walked by, I was like, oh, I should have asked him if he could, how much he would sell Moss's shirt. That would be good. That would take us a whole hour today.
Sure.
Maybe
we could
have gotten
that. We could negotiate. Maybe you could get a piece of that.
I'd be willing to broker that.
Be the arbiter?
Not from Watson.
That's true.
All right, Andy
but,
Hart.
Hey, what is it? How did Moss refer to it? It's all cash, homie.
Straight
like that?
Cash.
Straight cash, homie. Maybe he would have given it up. He's not interested in the money anymore.
Felger also had a good clip from, I guess, a Steve Burton package when he played here in 2001, 2000, I think it was.
I think
it was back then. Asked why, you know, he was seen not going off the line of scrimmage on a couple plays. What was that all about? I guess I was mother bleeping tired. It's pretty funny.
All right,
but he's a Patriot now, so
let's take care of the formalities. Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, Fred Kirsch, and in the booth, Gary is at some big meeting. So, what's your name? I don't know.
Mike.
He's on
Mike,
the intern.
Mike is the intern. The booth. Very nattily dressed.
Yeah, wearing a tie.
Wearing a shirt and tie.
He
doesn't fit in around here.
He had a jacket on, though. The jacket's already gone. Less than 5 minutes into the show, he's already a little
frazzled. We might have to kick the crap out of him on principle.
He's on the phone, I think, trying to broker our food orders and stuff.
He's actually got something real on the website, not solitaire.
So right.
He's actually
I don't know what that's all about, and I don't see a spittoon over there.
He's doing work over there, so this is
good. So this is a good test for Gary to see if a monkey can do his job. No offense.
Apparently Mike's a monkey.
Speaking of food, I think it was DG. Doug sent us a very nice meal from Papa Gino's.
It may have been Sawyer, just to cover all bases here.
Might have been Sawyer, but
either way, it was good.
I did speak with Sawyer. And
personally?
Yes, I did. And he said... where he was going to leave the food for us, where he was having it sent, wasn't where we got this. That's why there's some confusion as to who sent it.
We know Doug was telling Gary he was going to help us out today. So, either one, if it was Doug, thank you. If it was Sawyer, thank you. If you're not the one, next Wednesday is your turn.
Or if you've already sent it, we'll leave
that
too.
If you've already sent it, don't worry about next week. We're already...
All right.
Andy will eat it right now.
The email address is webradio@patriots.com. It's webradio@patriots.com. Of course, we already have tens,
Do any of them say Moss in the title?
Dozens coming in. Actually, our first one does.
Says Oldenburg.
We'll get to that in a minute. But, guys, before we get to the emails, let's have your kind of overview. I think everyone here thinks that the Moss deal was a good deal, low risk.
No-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
I mean,
I think with the risk involved, I think you guys are right.
Yeah, it's an absolute no-brainer. A fourth-round draft pick for Randy Moss, the way the contract was structured. I know a lot of people are trying to make a lot out of this thing, but if you're the Patriots, you have to do it. And it's all about control. You look what the Cowboys did last year with T.O. They had the control. Now Dallas doesn't have the control anymore. Now T.O. has the control. Now, I think Andy brought up a good point. I don't know if it was on the air during the draft, but if they sign Moss after this year for a three- or four-year deal, then Moss has the control on you. That's the problem you got to stay away from.
The big question
right now
is,
the Patriots have all the control.
It's the exact same scenario as Corey Dillon. Do they learn the lesson? If he goes out and he has 1,600 yards and a bunch of touchdowns, do you sign him to an extension and then put the ball back in his court? They did with Corey Dillon. He got old. He got slow. Whether that had anything to do with money or not, they sort of made a bad decision there, and it kind of petered out at the end, and you had dead money. Are you willing to just take Moss, have a great year, and let him walk away next year when he's looking for big money?
Yeah,
I don't know.
And I think where Dallas may have made a mistake in Tom's,
signing Terrell Owens?
In Tom's comparison is they did have control over T.O. when he got there, but the problem was that Jerry Jones had the control, not Bill Parcells.
Right.
That's not the case here.
Right.
Because Jerry Jones wanted T.O., and T.O. knew that.
I can't
imagine.
And
that allowed him to do the stupid things that he did all year.
Right.
You know, like getting dressed up and riding the.
And that's
like
when Parcells was there.
Right.
But Parcells had no power to do anything. I can't imagine
at some point during the season, Parcells didn't say to Jones, let's get rid of this guy.
Well,
and
we
Jones
know that.
Wouldn't let
we
him.
We know that for a fact.
Well,
they
yeah.
tried to get rid of him
season.
Before the season even started,
yeah.
and Jones wouldn't let him. That won't be the case here.
Right.
If Belichick decides that he wants to get rid of Randy Moss, it'll be Bill's decision and Bill's decision only.
Right.
Robert Kraft's not going to stand in his way.
Nope.
And just a couple financial things I think we need to clear up or whatever. Two things. Randy Moss, while he took low money to come here, didn't necessarily give up $20 million. He was going to be cut.
That's a good
so
point,
his salary yeah. was not going to be paid to him.
Right.
He came here for what you could say is a low money deal. If he had been cut, maybe he could have signed for more on the open market. But right. he didn't give up that money. He was going to be cut and not
it
receive
it. It was one of those deals that guys make and you know you're never going to see that year.
Right. The second is Tom Brady didn't give up any money either to get Randy Moss here. We don't know the details of what he did to restructure, but he didn't say, you know what, just keep money you owed me.
Yeah, players don't do that.
All he did was move it around. He made it a bonus in all likelihood. He had a $6 million salary scheduled for this season. My guess is when we see the numbers on the NFLPA site in the next couple of weeks, it'll say $2 million salary and four was converted to bonus so they could divvy it out over the final 4 years of the deal.
He just got more money up front.
Right, they handed him a check.
What Brady did.
In all likelihood, whatever Brady did was beneficial for Brady.
And
that's not a shot at Tom.
No.
But that's just the way the teams have to do these things to make the salary cap work. But
Manning did the same thing.
Right. In the long run, I would bet anything that this benefited
yeah,
Brady.
Didn't the Colts go from at the cap to 15 million under in the
right.
course of like a day?
2 seconds.
Right.
And I did get it confirmed that there is no extension involved in
right.
that restructuring.
Right. Okay.
So it's the same term as it was before for Brady.
And as far as Moss goes, I mean, I think he should have a clean slate when he comes here, but some of the fans are already trying to get the spin out, like, well, if you were in Oakland, you wouldn't play hard. Shut up. He's getting paid millions of dollars to play football. His acts on and off the field in the past are unacceptable, so don't try to make up for that. However, he comes here, I think he's going to have a fire lit under him. I don't think he's going to be any problem whatsoever, and I think it'll work out both ways.
Yeah, that's what you have to hope. Is forget about defending what has gone on in the past with Randy Moss. We have to hope, you know, for the Patriots' sake, that he comes here, he's hungry, he wants to play hard, he wants to win.
He wants a ring.
And then that you get a year out of him without incident, and then whatever happens in 2008, like Andy said, I don't think the Patriots will make that mistake that they did. I think this is a one-year and one-year-only right. thing. Patriots fans just need to hope that they get the most out of Randy Moss as possible and let him go somewhere else.
A few people in the media, let's see, John Dennis on EEI. Who was
John
it in the Dennis. Globe? Shaughnessy in the Globe.
I guess Jackie McMullen today Jackie, from what you guys are telling
me. Is this a change in the Patriots, you know, type of players they're picking?
None of us think so. And, I mean, these two have been here a lot longer than I have, but I remember the first time I went up and asked them, and this was a while ago, this might have been last year when I asked you guys, would Bill ever take Randy Moss? And without hesitation, both Andy and Paul said in a second.
Without
hesitation.
So I think that's another myth out there that the Patriots only take character guys. That's just not the case.
They look at them on an individual basis.
Right. I think character counts.
Yeah, but they take everybody on an individual basis.
Right.
Now, Bill obviously thinks that Moss won't be a problem here. Now, I'm sure they looked at T.O., You don't think they looked at Terrell Owens?
Sure.
Sure they did. And they probably said, you know what? I don't want any part of this guy. So they look at everybody individually, right. and Bill doesn't think Moss is going to be a problem.
And for the most part, I think that the prevailing attitude they have is character counts here.
Right.
Yeah.
Character counts very much in the Patriots organization, what they do as Patriots. Mr. Kraft is not going to sit back and let guys act like clowns and not say anything to Bill about it. But...
And that's what Teddy Bruschi said to Karen in today's Boston Herald was just overwhelmingly, he's here. That's what matters now. He's a Patriot in this locker room. What he does from here forward, he'll be held accountable for.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about...
But just to compare him to T.O. again, the Cowboys don't really have anybody in that locker room to take somebody by the head and, you know, smack them around.
They don't have anybody in the organization.
Right, exactly. Like, who's the leader of the Cowboys? Does anybody know?
Right.
No, this is Roy Williams. The guy never even speaks. But here, you have your Bruschi, you have your Harrison, you have Brady, you have all these guys, these guys that have been here and won championships. That's why I think it's different when you come to a place like New England than just any other team.
I think the transformation, I think, is kind of amazing. I mean, we talked about, wow, they're a great team without superstars, you know, except for maybe Brady. Now they're a great team with superstars. I mean,
superstars. Now they're a team with superstars.
Okay, we still have to
see.
Okay.
That, the one question is how all this talent comes together.
That's a
big devil's advocate way of looking at it, but I agree with Andy, and this is the reason, and we didn't get into this upstairs, Fred, but every year the Washington Redskins basically do what the Patriots did this year, and every year they're summarily dismissed as a laughingstock.
Right.
So it's not, you know, people always say it's not always about – collecting the best talent that you can.
No, but when you got Bill Belichick coaching
a lot,
then it's different.
And Brady's the quarterback.
I preface the whole
thing. Brady the quarterback.
Jason Campbell.
I preface the whole thing with saying that it's a devil's advocate way of looking at it. I think they're stacked. I think they're rightly the prevailing favorite for the Super Bowl. And I think we haven't seen any national guy not say that.
Right.
Not one. Not even one.
There's no way. That's the other thing. There's no way Patriots fans
Super Bowl
can say that they're not getting respect, because I heard guys on Saturday who in the past would look for reasons to not pick the Patriots on Sunday saying, why shouldn't they win the Super Bowl? They're the favorite.
And a lot of pressure comes with that.
Because that's right.
No other team right now is even in the discussion.
I mean, they're now the Yankees. Mm-hmm. You're expected to win the Super Bowl.
And if you don't, it's a disappointment.
Tom, have you checked Vegas? Have they? What's happening?
Oh,
Vegas?
They're the favorites by far.
They were like third, right?
Yeah, I think they're 4 or 5 to 1.
Jeez.
No.
I want to say they were like 9 or 10 before.
Yeah,
they're the clear-cut favorites, though.
Wow.
So if you got them at that 10 to 1, you're looking good.
Should have got them at that. Damn it.
All right. Well, let's talk about the rest of the draft. What was there? We know the Patriots did a lot of trading. They only ended up with one pick on day one. They took Brandon Merriweather, another guy with a little bit of a past, although, again, I'm not concerned about it, but that was their lone pick on day one. And then on day two, they took a bunch of guys that we really don't know a lot about. So let's talk about it. You guys are in the process of finding out more about these guys.
I think this goes all the way back to February. When Andy and I went to Indianapolis, all we heard was how there wasn't a lot of talent in this draft. Now, a lot of times you hear that, and the NFL people don't agree. But if you look at how teams drafted, the Eagles and Patriots couldn't get out of the first two rounds quick enough. And other teams like the Chargers and Jets traded a bunch of picks just to get one or two guys that they really wanted. So apparently almost every NFL team agreed with what was being said at the Combine, that this was a very weak draft class. And the Patriots showed that because they couldn't give their first day picks away quick enough.
Okay. Guys, anyone on day two that you want to point out that might have a little potential?
Clint Oldenburg.
Now I'll be serious. Kareem Brown. I think he can develop into a backup defensive lineman, has some versatility, could probably play some nose, play some end. So I think not linebacker. We've gotten some emails. You know, is he going to be a convert to linebacker? No. Not sure where that came from, but no.
No.
But we mentioned it when he was picked that.
So that's where it came from.
No, you. Not as a linebacker.
Yes, we did. Because what you read out of Pro Football Weekly mentioned inside linebacker. And so we said, maybe that's why.
Rogers.
No, that was Rodgers.
That was Rodgers.
Definitely wasn't Brown.
Defensive end turn.
Kareem Brown
linebacker.
Is a big,
okay.
big
He's
guy.
He's 6 foot four, 305, 10 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I remember saying at 305 pounds.
Well, and I know he's listed at a lot less than that now, but he played at 300 pounds at Miami. He's a guy I actually think might be better suited to go the other way and transform himself into a backup nose tackle.
Right.
Rather than I mean, his,
but he'll probably make the. I mean, they carried Lakeven Smith last year. There's been Marquise Hill's probably out the door.
Well,
so
that's the thing.
You
that,
probably have a defensive line roster spot there. Yeah. I think he's got a chance, but I think those two are the only guys that really have much of a chance to make the roster.
I agree with Andy in terms of the roster, but they do have some intriguing guys as usual. Is usually the case with them. I think Justin Rogers is the kid out of SMU. He was a defensive end, and he's going to make that omnipresent. Transition.
Today, Junior.
And he had a ton of production at SMU, and I know that's a rebuilding program that's been down for so long, but he had a lot of pressure on the passer throughout his. He played all 4 years, had consistent sack totals. He's a guy I think if he can make that transformation, he's 250 pounds. He would seem to be an ideal size for that move. You know, I think he's a guy, certainly not in 2007, but maybe he sticks around in the practice squad. Maybe he finds a way to contribute on special teams if he does make the roster. And then,
not far from Zach Diossi.
Yeah, and maybe in 2008, you're looking at this guy as a potential, fill-in on the outside, at outside linebacker.
Although my people upstairs are telling me that he's a bit of an ankle tackler at times. Gets around the quarterback,
grabs an
ankle.
I heard that
ankle.
From your people.
Your people upstairs, was it 80?
Chris Barrera, a webmaster. Apparently, he said he looked for photos on the internet of him, and every photo had him wrapped around a guy's ankles.
And all joking aside, but Oldenburg is one of those. Well, I'm just bringing it up. He's like one of those Tom Ashworth, Dante Scarnecchia specials, where he's a former tight end. He played tackle and guard in college. He's not going to come in and play right away, but that's a guy that they like to take and kind of mold. So maybe 2 or 3 years down the road, he's a Tom Ashworth kind of player. Not a Pro Bowler, but contributor.
And those guys didn't really work out right last year, right? Stevenson was gone.
Stevenson was on the practice squad
for a little
at times,
bit. Yeah.
But not for the whole year. Who else?
Merchkowski's sort of gone through that, but not really panned out. So there's room there for guys that
they
want to get
and
back.
And they brought in three tackles.
Right.
It was Oldenburg, Corey Hilliard, and, two tackles and a center. And Mike Elgin, who, I talked to his coach, and you'd think he was very realistic in terms of the guy's ability, but, boy, this is another one of those,
Garrett
Mills types that everybody's All-American. I mean, just did everything right. He's a mechanical engineering student, Fred. Over a 4.0 GPA, already has a job lined up with John Deere, if and when the football thing doesn't work out. So
can he give me a tractor?
Well, you have to check him. You have to check into that. I'm going
to
be talking to him this afternoon.
Ask him about that.
But mostly projects. It was a draft filled with one starter, one possible starter down the road in Kareem Brown, and then a bunch of guys who are developmental types who may or may not make the team. So
Justice Hairston, I just spoke with on the phone, running back, Central Connecticut State. Scott Pioli's alma mater, transferred from Rutgers, had a great freshman year, hurt his knee. Well, not great. He had 500 and change freshman year. Hurt his knee, then sort of fell behind. Brian Leonard was splitting time with him. Leonard obviously took off, became the poster boy of the program. Hairston ended up transferring over 1,800 yards last year at 1AA. Corey Dillon is the comparison, 6'1", 210, 220, a little bit of speed. Obviously knows he has to play special teams, but a lot of production in his one season at the 1AA level. So practice squad guy, maybe.
All right, let's get back to Merriweather, the first round pick. Possible starter. He's got a lot of talent. More of a free safety type than a strong safety type. Not one that would replace Rodney, but could give Eugene Wilson a run for his money, or James Sanders, I would think.
Well, I think Sanders will be more the Harrison role. Wilson
so?
And Merriweather are more the free.
Yeah, I agree with that. And from everything that we're reading, and I talked to his position coach yesterday, Tim Walton, was the defensive backs coach at Miami last year. He's going to be the defensive coordinator this season. plays all of those positions. He said he plays them all well. Free safety, strong safety, nickelback, cornerback. They used him in a variety of ways. Actually, when they played against Georgia Tech, they lined him up on Calvin Johnson. So that's obviously a very, very tough task. Handled himself very well. Larry Coker explained that Johnson didn't in either game, did it twice, two different games, didn't get 100 yards in either game. We all know that at least has something to do with Reggie Ball at Georgia Tech. But this is a guy that does a lot of different things. You hear all the Patriots buzzwords in terms of flexibility and versatility, but it seems like he does a lot of these things really well. My only concern about him would be his size. He's a little on the small side.
Yeah. About what is he? Only about
195 pounds.
195? I didn't know if he's that heavy.
And that's bulked up. And he came to Miami, by all accounts, at about a 160.
Yeah.
And really bulked up to get to 195. And that's a little on the small side.
But so, the other end is people mention the name Ed Reed. And anytime you're mentioning Ed Reed, I don't care if you're three quarters or half the player, that's good.
Let's say it like it is. Ed Reed had 21 picks in college. I believe Merriweather had 6. Mm-hmm. Ed Reed is all over the place in college. He was a phenomenal, phenomenal football player. So I think the Ed Reed comparisons,
if people that know what they're talking about are in any way mentioning them,
Ed Reed
is a
ball-hawking playmaker. This guy had 6 picks.
I kind of agree with Tom
I don't always
this.
21 to 6?
See, picks to me, I think they're circumstantial.
Well,
I think a lot of times
Reed scored more touchdowns than this guy.
Oh,
had
we know
picks.
What Ed Reed can do when he has the ball in his hands.
Well, let's not go crazy. I'm saying Ed Reed. We're talking about the
I
best
said
safety
if he's
in the
half
NFL.
Or three quarters of the player that Ed Reed is,
then
we have a steal.
I agree with that.
Man, there's a shock. Tom wasn't listening because he was talking.
Oh wow!
Well,
there's
no, but I'm talking about in general. We keep hearing the Ed Reed.
Well, that's what they do at this time. They compare.
But I think that the biggest reason that you're hearing a lot of comparisons to the Sean Taylor Ed Reed is just that he's the next safety from Miami.
Yeah.
I don't really think it has anything to do with a similarity in playing style.
Well, then scouts are terrible.
Well, I don't
think he's as physical as those two.
I've been reading some stuff, and I think it's more along the lines that, Merriweather is talking about wanting to continue that tradition of safeties at Miami. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's great that he has been kind of mentored, for lack of a better word. He's talked to these guys a lot, and he credits them for helping him a lot. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I kind of agree with Tom in that to put this guy's career next to Ed Reed's Miami career is definitely going to pale in comparison.
Obviously.
That's the only thing I'm saying.
And I
don't disagree with anything you said either, Andy. I'm just kind of stating it. I think the comparisons are more along the lines of he's another safety from Miami, and he's trying to continue that, that tradition.
I'm going to have to go back and look at the notes where they said Ed Reed, because I thought it was more playing style than just, there's another safety out of Miami.
I'm not saying that you didn't read it that way. I'm saying you shouldn't be reading
it
that
his
way.
Playing,
I think the scouts are making a mistake.
Yeah, his playing style, if you're comparing Sean Taylor to Ed Reed, it's definitely more towards Ed Reed, because he's more of a ball-hawking type of guy. And
Sean Taylor's big.
Yeah, it's huge.
That's
totally but I think they just kind of – it's kind of like comparing Jarrett to Mike. You know what I mean? I just don't like when people do that.
Right.
I think Merriweather's a very good player.
I think that's a good analogy.
And I think the guy I would compare him to probably is Eugene Wilson, is a guy who can play – he could line up some corner, play safety, do a lot of different things for you, and maybe he's going to be the new Eugene Wilson of this defense.
Well, this is why this is a great show because unlike other shows that talk about Randy Moss and then they're on to the Red Sox, we get a little bit more in depth here. You can –
taking a shot at me? For a show that I might have been involved in.
Oh, now it's his show.
I noticed for a show that I might have been involved.
You ever notice he jumps right to you're talking about him?
Right. Now he's
the
defending,
world revolves around
the station
Paul.
He doesn't even work for. I'm trying to compliment the one he does work for.
We could talk about another show where the guest host of the day threatened to beat up a member of the New England Patriots.
Is that right?
Yeah, but on that show, those people didn't bring it up on this show.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com. It's an email address. Webradio@patriots.com. A lot of emails coming in. Everybody wants to get in their 2 cents, whether it's about Randy Moss or the draft in general or the Patriots' hopes this season, which kind of got a little better when they picked up Randy Moss. I think everyone would have
here's
to
a question.
So you think they didn't have a chance at the Super Bowl?
Well, that's not what I said, Andy.
Here's my
Fred
question.
Fred was down on the team until they got Moss.
I'm looking at an undefeated season now.
Did they need him?
No.
So why'd you get him?
Why get him?
Because the deal was too good to pass up.
Yeah.
But if you don't need him, then any risk is too much risk.
No. I disagree.
I don't think you have that much risk.
You get a chance.
Risk-reward, we say the reward is higher because he's a great player. But if you honestly believed you had a Super Bowl team before him, then any risk, even if it's 1%, is too much.
I don't see any risk. It's 1 year. Yeah. You know Moss can't screw around or people are...
What if he does, though?
The Patriots can't lose.
First game of the season, his contract becomes guaranteed, right? Because he's a vested veteran or whatever you call it.
Okay, so you lose $3 million.
But what if he, as Paul said yesterday in the office, what if through the first seven games he has 48 catches and seven touchdowns and then starts bitching and moaning and being a jerk?
Now
you're cutting the key weapon on your offense.
Now he's a part of what you're doing.
He was the key weapon of the offense because he was there. Once he's there, someone else will.
But here's
the deal.
If that's the case, then I don't understand why I make the move.
The Patriots can't lose in this because even if they end up having to cut him, okay, for whatever reason.
Which they're not going to do.
For negative reasons.
Right.
Then they look good for really standing by what they said.
I don't care about looking good. I care about winning games and roles on the football field.
I understand.
Feeling good, Lewis?
I just think that it was... I don't think they needed him. They weren't desperate for him.
No.
I don't think they were
desperate.
All I'm saying is, if you thought they were a Super Bowl team before...
Because you're always looking to upgrade your team. Always.
Yeah. I mean, look,
you're either getting better or you're getting
worse. We started
the
whole show. All four of us agreed that we would do this
in a
heartbeat. It was a no-brainer based on what they had to give up for him.
Right.
No question.
We're just trying to open up a little back-and-forth dialogue, all the angles here.
And I'm giving you it back.
PFW in Progress is a boring show when all four of us agree on everything.
I think you're always looking to upgrade
your
team.
I'm with Fred on this one.
And my argument's not even the Felger. I mean, that he's a bad guy. I don't like him. I'm just saying there is a little bit of risk that he could turn into
a sour
apple.
Even then, he's a bad guy. I'm not so sure about that either.
Come on.
I don't think he's a bad guy.
I think he's been a bad guy in the past.
We'll see what he does.
Depends on your definition of bad guy.
As Bill said on Monday, I'll give him, you know, we have to give him a chance.
But Fred, would you admit he's been a bad teammate in the past?
Absolutely. He's been immature.
Good guys don't squirt referees with water bottles. Good guys don't leave the field before a game is over. Good guys don't bump into a traffic cop on the street. Good guys don't do those things.
Wasn't she a meter maid?
Oh, okay. That makes it okay.
It does.
She deserved it.
They should be run over twice.
Good guys
don't
do those.
You should run over and back up.
I'm 100% on board with this move, but you're not going to convince me that this is a good guy.
He's not a bad guy.
He wasn't even a good guy on Sunday on
his conference call. He's not beating
people
up.
He was entertaining.
He was entertaining as all hell. Look, he wasn't a good guy.
As long as they don't wake up to... next to dead women or little kids, they're okay in my book.
Good guys don't say I play when I want to play. Good guys don't admit to taking plays off.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Selfish, immature.
You know what I look forward
to? Bad guy.
Bad?
I look forward to the trip to Miami when the plane is filled with sponsors and he walks down the aisle making fun of people and swearing at them.
He's not going to do that.
Oh, how come?
Because he's not a bad guy.
He's done it in the past.
He has?
You don't remember that whole thing where he was ripping and yelling
yes.
at sponsors?
Oh, really?
Minnesota.
Oh, really?
I'm just not looking forward to the full plane to Miami.
MFing guys on the bus.
Yeah.
Somehow ended up on bus 5.
Right. Lots of difference here.
All right. Let's get to the emails. webradio@patriots.com.
But, Fred, when you were talking about the media people, when we were on Felger, and I'm not just trying to bring up Felger's point, because you can bash Felger because he doesn't care, unlike some others in the media. But he doesn't like Moss. He didn't like Moss in the past. But he admitted, if he comes here and is okay, then I'll change my opinion.
Well, remember, he's a Green Bay fan.
But why just come in with a negative opinion on him? So he's being negative right from the start instead of just coming in with an open mind.
That's the other issue I wanted to bring up. All these people that are ripping the move and all this, I don't want to read February 7th or whatever, the day after the Super Bowl, he became such a good guy in New England, the redemption story. You need to be consistent because he still was a total jerk for the first 9 years.
Right. That's a great point.
I don't want you backpedaling.
Andy was talking about that yesterday, and that's what will happen because, let's face it, chances are this guy, he's not a dumb guy, I don't think. Chances are he's going to keep his nose clean and stay out of trouble here in his 1 year in New England, and it's going to be pretty successful. I think we're all excited to see the guy play. But that's not going to mean that all that other stuff that you said was bad
doesn't count
anymore.
Right. Right.
And these writers that are killing him and killing the Patriots for making this move will try to say, well, the Patriots were right.
Right.
Well, no, if you thought this right now,
then you still need to think it. You can't sit there and jump on the wagon and say, well, I was wrong.
You're talking about the move now.
Right.
Right.
And, you know.
At that point, Paul, in February, they should say they were right, but. I still think it was they shouldn't be bringing in
and
guys
like this. And
that's
what I said. You know, we were talking
well, I'm on board.
I think Andy and I were talking about this. I forget who else was there, if Fred was involved or not. But, you know, you don't just change the whole mindset. If you think this was a bad thing to do, if you don't agree with taking these kinds of guys, but you say, well, they had no risk involved, Well, so was the only thing you care about is financial ramification?
Right.
You know,
right.
like I made the comment.
You either have a principle or you don't.
Right. Several years ago, and this is where I'll admit to being, I feel a little hypocritical about this, and we talked about it on the draft cast on Sunday, because in the past I've been very outspoken about not wanting these guys. If for some reason, Randy Moss doesn't bother me to the extent that, and it was before he was a Patriot too. He doesn't bother me to the extent of a lot of these other guys do, like Pac-Man Jones and Chris Henry and Ray Lewis. And I made the comment a long time ago on this show, Fred, that I wouldn't want Ray Lewis on my team if it meant winning a Super Bowl. I wouldn't want him, and I stand by that, because I think that he is a bad person who is involved in bad things, criminal activity. And that, to me, is a difference. You know?
And that's the column that I want them writing. I want them saying, you won, but wouldn't it have been sweeter if you didn't have to sell your soul to Randy Moss?
But you know what, Andy? My feeling wouldn't change if Ray Lewis was suddenly available on the open market and they could bring him in here for a 1 year non-guaranteed $3 million.
Right.
Well, there's no risk involved if he acts up. That my feeling doesn't change. I don't want the guy on my team, even if I don't have to pay him at all.
Right.
That's where I think that some of these guys, but see, they're saying,
so you're a hypocrite.
But it's not black and white.
Ray Lewis
witnessed the murder and refused to say who did it.
Well, I'm not talking about the let's just use Pac-Man Jones then. He's been arrested 12 times in the last year.
Right, and that's different. I mean, Randy Moss isn't even close to that.
I understand that. Yeah. I said I don't put Randy Moss in the same.
And neither do I.
I don't think Randy Moss's transgressions have been criminal.
Right.
Like Corey Dillon.
They haven't been. That's a fact.
Well, early on he had some, right? Like college.
Yeah.
When he was in high school, he beat the hell out of some kid that called him, you know
what. I don't want to just bury everything.
But with Moss, it's basically the I only play when I want to play and I take plays off. That's the thing that bothers most people like me. Like, even if you do that, don't come out
immature,
and say
bad.
It.
That's
say
a
it.
Bad
and some people
teammate.
Think that's worse because it's the sanctity of the game and the teammate.
Yeah. It's a joke to me.
You go to battle with
that
a guy.
That would matter more than beating somebody up.
Right.
I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I would rather have them take a play off, which I think everybody does. And does.
And Chris Carter said, I was just a better actor.
Yeah.
You take plays off and you just make it look like
you're trying. Right, the problem I have with Moss is that he said it.
The problem is he's stupid. He's too
stupid
to say it.
Right.
When he said it, all his things come because he's immature and stupid.
But the way things are being written about him, and Fred, I think you're exactly right, it's like this guy gets arrested every other week.
Right.
When's the last time he's been in jail?
Right, never.
So I don't really see the big deal.
Probably spent some time in jail.
But I agree with that, and that's why I feel like I am hypocritical, but that's why I don't look at Moss the same way I look at a lot of the other guys that are arrested multiple times, because I think that his stuff, to quote Tom Curran, He's not a criminal. He's a dink.
Right.
He's doing all these stupid, immature things.
And
a lot of
guys have.
And there's a ton
of
guys like
college athletes. You read all the time stupid things they've done, and it's just stupid, immature. And he's sort of taking it a little longer.
But it seems like everybody is willing to overlook that stuff if you have control. If you can get rid of the guy and there's no risk, that's okay. I'll take Ray Lewis. I'll take Pac-Man Jones. Well, I won't. I don't want those guys on my team. But Randy Moss, to me, is a little bit of a different case.
I won't take Pac-Man Jones, but I will take Ray Lewis.
I don't want any part of Ray Lewis. None.
Oh.
All right.
I'll take him.
Shall we get to the emails?
I'd rather lose.
I like talent.
You didn't ask me how good I thought he was. I think he's an immensely talented guy. I don't want a criminal.
Would you take Pac-Man Jones?
I think he's a murderer.
The guy's got talent.
No. But that one is too far.
I think he was involved in a murder. I think that's a pretty serious thing. I don't want him on my team.
Let's see.
Sure, he said otherwise, Paul.
No, it didn't.
He sold out his brothers.
He pleaded out. Jury said nothing.
Sean is from Fort Myers. He says, first off, let me say that you guys did a great job during draft weekend. You all had great insight as to the future of our team. By the way, I think that Randy Moss is a terrific acquisition. You had a blogger/email from a fan on Saturday regarding Tom Brady's accuracy last year. I believe he was right in a sense. Brady was not as accurate as in the past. You could blame it on the receiving corps if you want, but I have a different perspective. Because Tom did not have any A receivers, I think his confidence dropped. Let's face it, incompetence is an infectious
disease. That's
blaming
the receivers.
I think his confidence in his receivers dropped.
With Moss now in the mix, mark my words, Tom Brady will have the best year of his career. Also, since Tom is the manager of that team in the field, like any other management position, you're only as good as the people working for you. Look out, because we're about to open up a can of whoop-ass in the league and is about to take a bite. Frank, don't eat it all.
That's the other wet blanket thing we need to throw out there. They have a lot of talent, but they still have to bring it all together on offense. And Tom and I have talked about this. You know, people say, oh, Harrison and Wayne and Manning, now we know what it's like for Brady to have the weapons. Well, we don't, because those guys have been with Manning for years. You're throwing guys that are talented now and expecting them to pick up right where Manning and Harrison are. They're not. They're going to take some while to get on the same page, for Brady to get some confidence that if he throws it up there, Moss will indeed be able to still go get it. It's going to be a development. It's just going to be more fun to watch because you're developing with a lot of talent.
Yeah, and we were talking about that, about like the red zone. You just have to throw it up and Moss will get it. Brady's never really had a receiver to do that with. So he has to have that trust with Moss that to throw it up there, because I'm sure there's going to be a conversation, whether it be game one or two, where Randy says to him, listen, just throw it, baby, and I'll go up and get it. Yeah. And that's going to have to all come together.
The only thing I'm not as worried about in regards to that, and I think they're good points, is that they have now, you know, what's this, beginning of May. You have all of May, all of June before training camp.
Well, if Randy can put it in his schedule before he was traded here, he had some things on the calendar.
none of which involved anything to do with Oakland, by the way.
Right.
But, yeah, he had a couple of months here.
When I can.
Last year, the only guy who had a couple of months to work with Brady was Caldwell.
Right.
You know, everybody else was kind of thrown into the fire, you know, in training camp. And that was tough. And I think that ultimately, that's what you saw the first 8-10 weeks of the season was just a lot of a lack of familiarity with each other. And
plus, they wasted time along the way with different people. Well, as Fred said,
but Gabriel,
Stallworth and Moss are pretty much your guys. So unless they get
hurt, Fred's got them penciled in.
Unless they get hurt,
penciled, forget it.
Right.
They're penned in.
Sharpie. He got one of those little Sharpie. You know those commercials where they can't figure out how to write it. He wrote Moss, Stallworth.
I wrote it on my underwear so that if I lose it at camp, they'll know Stallworth.
We just want you watching the kicking battles, Fred. That's what you excel at.
And a quick note, Fred, I saw on ESPN, Joe Andruzzi was cut today by the Browns.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Joe.
Thought that might happen with their offensive line.
Of course,
line
Keyshawn Johnson was cut yesterday by the Panthers.
Hey, you know, I wanted to bring that up as a complete aside. Did you hear this story? He got a $3 million bonus on April 1st
that they gave
to him. Now they're saying they didn't give it
to
him?
Yeah, it was not paid to him.
Okay. Because there was a story out, I guess, that I think it was John Clayton, who said that the reason they gave it to him... No, actually, it was Vic. When Vic was on yesterday, Vic Carucci, he said they gave it to him because in the long run, you'd be amazed how much goodwill that buys you around the league, things like that. And I immediately raised an eyebrow, kind of like you're doing like The Rock right now. I thought it was a strange thing because teams aren't in the business of generating that much goodwill that it's costing
right.
$3 million. And now you're saying
Our good buddy Pat Yazinskis reports he did not receive the bonus.
He is our good buddy. He does a very good job for us every
it's
year.
Fine that. Job. Just can't spell his name.
Yazinskis.
Ed from Hampton.
Yasinkas.
Spelling guys.
I don't know.
Ed from Hampton, Virginia. I was wondering what you guys think about Justice Harrison. I think that this guy might have been a steal.
Fred can't pronounce his name.
Justice.
Hairston. Justice.
Hairston.
Hairston. Not Justice. As he just told me when I said Justice, and he said, it's Justice.
Okay, I think that this guy might have been a steal. I think he could come right in next year and produce with about 10
to 15. Plus, we're not disputing how it's written in the email. You're supposed to know these guys so you can just automatically say it.
That's why I pay you.
You know those emails where they put letters out of order just to prove you can still say the word?
I could go for a cookie now, something sweet.
In the middle of an email, he goes up
wrong
with
him?
I think he could produce about 10 to 15 carries a game. The guy had awesome production. He beat out Brian Leonard as a freshman.
Wait. I need to go back here.
Whoa.
He could produce 10 to 15 carries a game for the 2007 Patriots?
Yeah. That's what this guy's saying. Let me
finish. I agree. Listen, after talking to him 10 minutes ago, I love him.
Wait, Fred, real quick. Brian Leonard isn't that great. He was a good player on a terrible
Brian
team.
Brian Leonard's not capable of 10 to 15 carries a game for an NFL
this
team.
He was a recruit that came in, and Leonard was more that fullback guy again.
Right.
Leonard took over because this guy couldn't get the job done, so they had to make him a tailback. So let's not make it sound like he beat out Brian Leonard.
He says he holds the NCAA record for having 197 yards in the first quarter of a game, and he had
1,877 there was like 152 people at the game.
That is phenomenal. I don't care what competition he was playing against. I think the guy was a big-time sleeper. He's a big, strong, and had great production in college.
He had good production at a low level for one season when even he was disappointed. He expected to go over 2,000 yards and didn't make it.
I'm all for giving everyone a shot. I think the kid, you know, had a lot of production, but to sit there and say, I don't care what level
that doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any
sense. Plus, he admitted he got worn down and couldn't carry the load.
Your tight end would have been drafted, Paul, from Northeastern. Well, it doesn't matter what kind of competition
he played. David Ball, the kid from UNH, broke Jerry Rice's touchdown record. Where'd he go in the draft?
He
didn't.
Well, I think this guy has better measurables. That
would
be the big
thing. I understand, and I said I'm all for giving everybody a shot and whatever, and I don't care that he went to center. Me, of all people, wouldn't care that he played at the 1AA level.
But you can't dismiss
it. But you can't say, I don't care what level he did it at. That's That's the whole thing.
Right, and we're not saying he's not going to make the team. Maybe he will, but he's not getting 10 to 15 carries a game. You can take that right out right now. No way.
Now, Michael Allen, I don't care what level he did it at, tight end out of Whitworth. It's phenomenal.
You want to talk about measurables, right?
Yeah.
Who had better measurables than Zach Diossi? In terms of his height,
Patrick
weight,
Willis.
40 time, his shuttle run, his
right,
cone
so Paul's
run. The only
thing
reason
is
why,
right. You're comparing him to a top 10 pick.
If he went to Ohio State,
first right. round pick.
He'd be a first yeah. round pick.
Well, if he could play.
He went in the
or
fourth
they would
round,
have realized by that time he couldn't play.
He went to the fourth round with perhaps the best measurables of any linebacker because he played for Brown.
Right.
That's the whole thing. You have to find out what level he played at. I mean, to dismiss that, I think, is really, really a stretch.
All worked up.
And he did play at a Division I school. He was the third team. He was the third string tailback.
Right. He had success as a freshman. Hurt his knee. Then the next year, while competing pretty much neck and neck with Leonard, averaged 2.6 yards a carry over a pretty, I want to say like 70 carries, so not just four carries. You know, so that's a pretty decent sampling, and he wasn't, you know, blowing everybody away with his talent. He has the measurables. He's got a 4.55 40. He's 6'1", 215, 220. He can jump. But he did it against St. Francis of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just kind of pull back a little bit, say it would be a nice story if he made the practice squad and then eventually
tremendous.
Hung around
not
for a
10
year.
To 15 carries.
Sixth round pick.
But
tremendous.
I am a little
bit,
you know,
what it is.
This guy thinks he's going to come right in and have 15 carries in the NFL. He admitted to me he got worn down at Central Connecticut. That's why he didn't get over 2,000. The coaches had to pull back a little. Now, admittedly, that was 49 carries, but, you know, he admitted he got worn down playing Division I AA talent. I mean, that's like playing against Paul.
Oh. All right, Gary from Easton says, nice
from
work.
The guy who played at Tufts.
Nice work on all the draft info leading up to in last weekend. A couple of quick comments and then my question. Merriweather, a sound pick, and Moss, a great trade. Brandon, welcome to the Rodney Harrison School. And Randy, see ya in Hawaii. Look for Tom Brady to have way over 4,000 yards passing this season and the Pats to put up record point totals for this organization. I was disappointed that they traded rather than use their second, first, and third round picks on one of the available linebackers. But if Belichick didn't see what he wanted, then who am I to question? My question is, however, since they didn't fill in the need to get younger and faster at inside linebacker, do you guys think that there's a possibility of Junior Seau coming back to play one more season for a chance at a ring?
Sure.
Yeah, I guess.
I think they need somebody. And
yeah, I do.
We've talked about in the past Seau or Hartwell, a guy on a one-year deal, veteran minimum, rotational, emergency guy with experience. I think both those guys would be perfect fits for that.
I just don't know how thrilled I am about having a 40-year-old linebacker if he has to play.
At least you're a step up from last year when the 40-year-old linebacker was your starter.
Yeah,
did
no,
pretty
I'm just,
well.
I'm yeah.
He did very well last year, but how many
now
times are you going to go to that well?
Yeah, now he's another year older. He's coming off another injury.
I know. But it's a broken bone. I'm not worried about those.
Yeah, but he's still another year older.
Yeah,
he's older than
That's
Paul.
True.
That's old.
True.
Yeah, he hasn't played anywhere close to a full season in 5 years.
Yeah.
Ben from Boxborough says, "I'm glad the Bills took Paul Posluszny because we can listen to Frank mispronounce his name at least twice a year."
That wasn't bad. I've heard worse on real radio.
Oh, I'll figure out something. Expert. I'll make it worse.
Just call him what the other ones call. What do they call him? Puzz?
Yeah,
just
Puzz.
Call him Puzz.
Pazaluzzi.
Call him Bust.
Well, I don't know. They're thinking big things for him.
I think he's fine now.
Why?
Because you're going to take him where he's supposed to get taken,
the second round.
I think that's still a little high for his skill set.
Might be using a little added information to garner that.
I'm just saying.
Report.
I think some teams may have had him ranked a little bit lower than that, or a lot lower than that. I think that's the Bills' MO these recent years in drafts. Take a guy at least a round ahead of where he should go.
Mike from Columbus, Ohio, asks if we saw the article by Bob Kravitz in the Indy Star where he mocks the Patriots' offseason moves.
Yes, yeah, it was funny.
It was very funny. I think it was meant to be funny.
He pulls
well.
Out a couple quotes. He says, quote, "A hearty round of congratulations to the New England Patriots, your 2007 summer Super Bowl champions. For their remarkable accomplishment, they will be awarded the Dan Snyder Trophy, which has resided for the Washington Redskins for the past 5 seasons. They will not be traveling to the White House to meet President Bush, as was the case with the actual in-season Super Bowl champion, Indianapolis Colts.
That's what I like.
But
the
they
actual.
But they will be hooking up with the Bush twins for a happy tour at TGI Fridays in Waltham, Mass." Wow.
I thought that was fine. It was funny. I thought there
I
was
think
a
he
new,
was trying to be
the
a
New York
bit,
one.
Yeah.
I thought was less funny when they said desperation
kind of, the New York
and
was
he
kind
feels
of
Eric Mangini nipping at his heels.
Yeah.
And That was a little more
serious.
I thought
serious. That was Steve
funny.
Serby, I think.
Yeah.
That was a little vicious.
This was funny.
This one, I think the guy was trying to be a little outrageous and a little tongue-in-cheek, but, you know.
Except
like
for the word actual. I liked that,
but like
that was phrased.
Like I said, I think there's some validity to the Washington thing.
Yeah.
I think everybody would be killing Washington if they did the same things.
Now, a little different.
I agree with Fred. I agree with Fred's. Well, the difference is they don't have Brady and they don't have Belichick.
Well, a little, and also,
that's
they'd
a big
be doing
difference.
It. They'd be giving Moss a 5-year, $50 million deal, like Adam Archuleta and all these guys that they cut a year later.
Their contracts are bad.
Right.
Not
Patriots
just
can just let them walk away and financially won't be hurt by it. That's the difference. Patriots make 1-year dumb
the
moves.
The difference to me is they have a guy that can put the. Put these guys into the best places
to
succeed, which is why
I thought Joe Gibbs was a pretty good coach.
Which is
why
I don't necessarily think that he's doing. I don't think he's in it. I don't think his heart's in it anymore.
Too much worried about the racing.
He's not making a lot of the decisions. It's like Belichick. He makes all the decisions.
He's doing
too,
it all.
You know, so he's the one that's bringing these players in. So he knows best where they'll fit. I think in Washington, like I agree with Paul. I think Joe Gibbs is kind of half-assed in the decision making and everything.
And I think it kind of goes to an old argument that I've had for a lot of years. You know, it's all about this system, the value system, and you know the fiscal responsibility with the salary cap. And I think that's all great. I think all the way that the Patriots do stuff and their philosophies have all been very successful. But I think none of it works if Belichick's not the coach. I think you do all the same player acquisitions and you have all the same philosophies with regard to your salary structure. And if you have Rich Kotite coaching, it's not going to work.
Except this year.
It's not
going to
work.
Where they just have so much more talent than everyone else.
Well, this year isn't exactly their whole value system at work either.
You could put a monkey in control. Fred,
yeah,
you up for the job?
But if Kotite was coach, they might lose three games,
right.
Huh, Fred?
Instead of being 19-0, they'll be 16-3 when it's all said and done.
If Castle was quarterback, they'd be 8-8.
Wow.
Shannon
writes
lack
of confidence in the backup. Let's remember that, because when Brady goes down, Fred will be spinning as, they can still win. This is a team. This isn't Tom Brady.
I will never give up hope.
You won't hear me saying it.
Shannon writes
back it in.
Shannon writes in, first of all, I wanted to thank you for the draft coverage before and after, but it does make me wonder why I bother looking at mock drafts and watching draft predictions and whatnot on TV. Nobody knows what's going to happen. It would be like picking every game right for the NCAA basketball tournament.
But that's why you do it, because it's...
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
And as far as the Pats draft weekend goes, let's just say I am excited as all get out to have Randy Moss. It's like banging the prom queen 7 years after high school. Oh, sure, she's been with guys before you and has been dumped and traded off, but look who's banging her now. Yes, it was disappointing not to grab a linebacker in the first or early second round, but that San Francisco first rounder next year should be top 15, don't you think? What are we looking at now? Two firsts, a second, and two thirds? Not bad.
Am I the only one that really liked that?
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
I'm not sure it's a top 15 pick. It'll be higher than it was this year in all likelihood.
He's completely ignoring the whole joke.
Yeah, it's good. It'll definitely be better.
I try to be serious most of the time on
but
the
I think
show.
That
oh, yeah.
San Francisco has a very, very legitimate shot
playoff
to be a playoff
team.
Yeah.
Right, but you can still be a playoff team and have it at 22,
but
26,
yeah,
whatever it is.
And Bill said it on the radio on Monday, I think.
I also thought that was mildly flawed, too.
Well, his little 12% theory?
Yeah.
That'd be worse?
It's not just a flat, you take a 1 out of 32 chance. You know what I mean? Because some teams are better than not. You know, I'll be shocked if the Raiders are good next year.
Hey,
so it's not an equal playing field.
Look, there's Newman.
You could see he was going to catch it.
Yeah, they didn't show the
Brady's
whole thing.
Gift to Moss. What? Nothing. What? Asking for the Patriots to hand him a check for $4 million? That would be a gift to Moss?
We need to get that on. We need to get that confirmed. It's exactly what the restructure was.
Well, right. As soon as they update, it'll be obvious once they update the NFLPA in a month. They're a little slow on that website.
Getting to Sawyer, there isn't a rivalry between us, and I don't dislike the guy. This is Shannon, but there's just something about his emails that reek of a Kmart sweater vest / Wrangler jean combo. Let me guess. Your wife has a pair of purple Crocs that she just loves to wear when you two dine at the Old Country Buffet. By the way, you live in Waterloo, Tucky, Iowa.
That's not funny.
Game, set, match, bro.
That's not funny.
What's,
man?
What's Tuckeek?
Huh?
What's Tuckeek?
Kentucky Eek? I don't know. He's making fun of where he lives. Right?
Okay.
Well, I'm a big fan of
Yeah, I like Waterloo.
Sawyer and Waterloo, big fan.
Shannon, you too can
you can join
earn
our big
praise
fan
if
list.
You send us food. Next week's available, I think.
All right. Let's see. Boxborough Ben, ahoy my bi-curious accountability buddies and Jake Steele.
Why am I bi-curious?
Well, you are bi-curious, and he's Jake Steele, but how did I get lumped in?
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
I like women. That's it.
I was wondering whether you think Dre Bly and the Broncos is an upgrade over what would have been Darrent Williams in his third year. I really enjoyed watching Darrent and Champ together, and I know it was a while ago, but it's still hard to believe what happened to him, and it got me wondering where you guys thought his career was headed. To me, he certainly seemed like one of the best up-and-coming corners in the league and a better player than Asante Samuel at that same point in his career, although I'm sure it definitely helps to be playing opposite Champ Bailey.
Well, not necessarily, because that means everybody's throwing the ball at
right.
you. If you were playing with somebody,
I thought it was okay.
Right, I'm gonna open myself up to the Indy Hart criticism right now. I don't mean to speak ill of the dead, but I don't think Darrent Williams was anywhere near as good as Asante Samuel. And I'm not talking about Asante Samuel last year. I think Darrent Williams was the target. And I understand that was going to be the case no matter what, but I have visions of that Colts game that we all watched on the road where it was just one after another 15-yard out with nobody in the same picture as the guy. Reggie Wayne looked like the greatest wide receiver in the history of Earth that day. I don't think he is that good at all.
He played opposite Champ.
That's
a little different than
Asante
Samuel playing with Troy Brown and Hank Poteet.
I understand that.
You never saw Asante opposite the best.
What difference does that have to do with it? The guy that
he was
covering.
It puts a bullseye on your chest. They're coming after you play after play after play, and you're talking about the best offense in football doing it.
That gets to Tom's point of it's not necessarily a great thing to be playing
right.
because you're going to get tested more often.
Right.
That doesn't preclude you from being able to cover the guy you're covering.
And if
I don't think that he could cover anybody.
Once in a while,
you've got to
make
a
play.
I don't think he was a very good quarterback.
I think he made some plays. I just think he got tested like Asante Samuel's never been tested.
Look, I thought that that I would open myself up to criticism here, but I think it's a controversial thing to talk about.
Well, no, I don't care about him dying. I'm saying as a player.
I don't think he was a very good cornerback. I think that he's memorable right now because he's dead. But I don't think he was a very good player. I think Dre Bly is 1,000 times better than he is, or was. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I just don't think Darrent Williams was very good.
Oh. Paul never met a grave he didn't want to stomp on.
I started the whole thing by saying it's a unpopular thing to say.
I was waiting for the wise-ass remark. It took a while.
I just don't think he was very good.
Steve from Ontario says he was just reading Dan Shaughnessy's column in the Globe. He seems to be amazed that the Patriots fans like the Moss deal, and I think he's accusing us of having no integrity. He wastes a huge amount of space picking out the bad boys of sports and tells us how we hate them until they come to New England. Are you kidding me? First of all, it is hardly surprising a fan base that lives by the motto "In Bill We Trust" would support trading a fourth-round pick to the NFL's worst team for one of the league's best wide receivers. Secondly, he blasts us by saying if Moss went to Miami, we'd be talking about how stupid a trade it was. Of course we would. It would have been a stupid trade. Miami's a team falling apart, and their draft didn't help. Would Moss help them? Sure. But who's going to get more out of Moss, Tom Brady or Cleo Lemon? Finally, Shaughnessy seems amazed at fans who one day loved or hated a player will instantly change their opinion of the player when traded to or from the Pats, Celtics, or Sox. No kidding, Shaughnessy. I think you've discovered something new. Maybe you should invent a name for it. Maybe call it being a homer or something crazy like that. Cheers, PFW, and keep up the great work. Even Frank's I got a feeling analysis is more enjoyable than those idiots wasting valuable space in the sports section to lament the fact that fans like players who play for the hometown team. He should be fired.
See, I don't get this whole thing. I just don't get it. Paul always says that.
I never thought I could find a way to defend Dan Shaughnessy, but I just did based on that email.
Well, no, right. I'm defending the fans because you said it. People root for laundry. They do. They root for, and I'll go back to T.O. 3 years ago, all the Cowboy fans were making fun of everything T.O. did. Then he signs with the Cowboys, and now they're making excuses for all those things because he's wearing their uniform.
Why? Isn't that what a fan is supposed to
it's
be?
It's not about the player. It's about the team.
No, that's fine, whatever you want to decide. But he is making his determinations based on what the guy will do for a team. So it would be a dumb trade for Miami because he wouldn't be as good with Miami as he would be the Patriots?
No, it would be a dumb trade for Miami because you're a Patriots fan, and anything they do, you want
but
to call dumb.
That's not what he said. That's not what he said. He said because he had
See,
Cleo Lemon.
I think he's saying,
Lemon
of course, it would be a stupid trade just because he was on the Dolphins.
Well, if that's the only reason why you're thinking it, I think Shaughnessy's right.
Well, I think it's being a fan. I didn't know fan. You had to be so serious. I love the team.
I think you just root for whoever's on there.
But, I mean, I understand that you're as a fan, you're blindly loyal to your team and you want them to win at all costs. You want them to win no matter what. You never give up. I think that's admirable. But isn't there also a part of being a fan that you can realistically judge stuff and
right.
players and talent
right.
like
But you don't have to if you don't want to.
But this is basically,
to me, that's what it is. It's escapism.
Yeah, but I don't.
You know,
I have to analyze stuff I do in my real life.
Where Paul says, I don't have a problem with the Moss deal. I still would have a problem with a Pac-Man Jones deal. I think most fans would agree with Paul.
Yeah, and that's
why Shaughnessy doesn't get it.
I don't.
Oh, you don't think so?
I do.
Oh, I think most fans.
A lot of fans draw a line at criminal action, and that's what you said.
I don't think
most of Moss's stuff is stupid.
I think most fans would be
against
Pac-Man Jones.
This is not about the Moss thing. You understand? This is not necessarily.
No,
I don't think the fans should be up in arms about this. I'm not. Why should I think the fans should be different than me? I'm not.
I just think fans should have fun.
But I'm just saying, I think part of being a fan is not just thinking that your guys are the only guys that are good. And I think there's a lot of that in New England. I think, you know, the whole thread that we talk about all the time, Peyton Manning sucks. Yeah, okay. Well, whatever. I just think if Peyton Manning came on the Patriots in a year, a lot of Patriots fans would think he's better than Tom Brady. And I think that's just blind homerism, and I don't think that's
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that.
That's what's fun about it. That's not judging his character, though. That's a kind of different thing where – you know,
we're
just
talking about making
them.
It's part of the game. It's part of the game.
I'm not saying that you should
be
happy.
You don't like to have fun when you root for sports.
Right.
You don't. Admit it.
What does that mean?
Because you like things to be down the middle and judge everything very objectively.
Down the middle?
Yeah, you don't like to.
When did anybody ever accuse me of?
Well,
being
you
down
just
the middle?
Said.
I would
say
it's the exact opposite.
Patriots fans.
Rule 17B is never be down the middle.
Thank you very much. Always have an opinion. There's nothing worse than the gray area.
I don't think Patriots fans like to admit that other teams have good players too, and you know maybe some don't, but I think it's in a fun way. It's like. It's like sports.
It's kind of like when
it's us against them.
When Northeastern football gets some nobody recruit and you pretend he's got a chance to go to the NHL. You're a blind fan of Northeastern. You love them.
First of all, I'd be very surprised if Northeastern football got a recruit that was going to the NHL.
Hockey? They don't play hockey?
You said Northeastern football.
I meant Northeastern.
But anyway, I don't blindly think...
The guy from Northeastern's got a better chance playing football to get the NHL than he gets the NFL.
I could give you a million examples, and that's only going to bore you, but they've had many first and second round picks in hockey over the last couple of years that I saw them play five games and said, that guy ain't got a prayer in hell ever playing in the NHL.
Because you're Mr. Objective.
No, because if you're a fan of the team...
Because you're Mr. Take All the Fun out of fandom.
I have no fun going to every game.
You don't stand up, you don't drink, you don't... You know, you got all these rules. When does it become
Tom,
fun?
Tom, to paraphrase you, I just kind of like to watch the game.
Yeah, but Tom likes talent, and he turned on
Tom
T.O. quicker than anyone.
Tom likes
the guy
talent.
Was a dink
I actually
until he
like
signed
to watch
Dallas.
The game.
That's my point.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You're a nut, too, and you play the
but
game.
But to defend Paul, I still think T.O.'s a jerk. I still think he's going to cause trouble.
But he's
Dallas.
Your jerk.
But that's the difference between Tom and most fans.
See, I think
most
you just
fans
take him
have...
too seriously. I think... All these people, they're
so you
just
don't
playing
think,
along.
So you don't think when the fans say that stuff, they really believe it?
No. It's like Fred. He doesn't really believe the crap he spins.
Although sometimes I do wonder.
You'll never know.
He still loves John Elway.
That's true.
I do love John Elway. He's
still got
man.
The jersey.
You don't believe him when he says that?
Still got the paint me on jersey.
and I like Mecklenburg and Randy Bradishaw.
I don't like to have fun. I'm down the middle.
It's
talk
tough.
About a poor characterization of me. Well, even Andy, who was against me in the argument, was for me on that
don't like
point.
To have fun part, okay. You know, ruin sports with his analytical side, but
that's what
down
I'm
the middle.
About.
That's a joke.
Down the middle.
That's a joke.
What?
Ruin sport.
Yeah, everything's so serious.
I take sports too seriously.
Too seriously.
I take winning and losing.
To lighten up.
I take winning and losing too seriously. I'll admit that, but
you need to lighten
not
up
the
a
rest
little.
Of it.
Laugh it off. Sign a Ray Lewis or two.
Josh in Arlington, Virginia says, you know, I keep hearing people talking about how old, slow, and tired our linebacking core were at the end of last year and how it cost us the game in the AC Championship. How is it that everyone has already forgotten that Jake Steele, a.k.a. Frank/Fred, gave half the team the flu on the plane flying out of San Diego?
True.
It takes a few days to incubate, right? Damn you, Jake Steele. I'm really excited about the Moss trade and the rest of the offseason moves. I hope we finally get to see the full measure of Brady's talents as soon as these guys spend some time together in gel. It's also very exciting as the addition of Moss should garner some extra out-of-market national broadcasts of games for us transplant types. Thanks to all the draft coverage this weekend and whatever you want to call that 3 hours on Sunday, too.
Hey.
We
tried.
It's tough on Sunday. You know, because you really can't follow the TV because the TV's not
even
following.
If he wants to blame someone, blame the Patriots for not picking anybody that's any good.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. What else?
What?
Anything else?
In regards
I got
to
tons
him?
Of emails.
I got nothing.
I was gonna say, you got to be kidding me.
We got tons of emails.
Good job on the China thing too. Because there's no chance they would have gone 19-0 if they had to fly to China.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's another feather in their cap.
Plus, I don't
reason.
Think we could have gotten a visa for Randy Moss. So, I mean,
he would have gotten
terrible
there.
Guy.
Well, why?
What? I'm joking, Paul. Oh. I'm not going down the middle. I'm making a joke.
I just wanted to know why you couldn't get him a visa.
All right.
I say he could have got one. Might have taken some straight cash, homie, but he could have got
Do you know
one.
How to take it? Mike knows how to take a break.
You're so doing a heck of a job.
Let's take a break, Mike, and we'll be right back.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's got to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin. Wow.
Patriots extra points because fans want contact, too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at Patriots extra points.
I'm in a dryer, trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar. And the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar in the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. This is PFW in progress.
All right, listen up. I don't like white people. I hate rednecks. You people are rednecks. It means I'm enjoying this shit.
PFW in progress with Red Kirsch.
Now get this. We ain't partners. We ain't brothers and we ain't friends. I'm putting you down and keeping you down, and you're going to be sorry you ever met me.
I'm already sorry.
Paul Perillo.
I'm taking a moan in my stomach or something, bro. You gotta go get something.
Weed when I say weed.
You know, that's bullshit. That's the last straw, right? I want some food now. If you don't like it, you can take me back to the penitentiary and kiss my hungry ass goodbye, all right? You took me out here. You've been treating me like shit since we first left. And I want some food in a nice place, a nice atmosphere.
And Andy. And Andy. Andy Hart.
I want the rest of you cowboys to know something. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is...
Some guy named Tom.
I'll be cool. Shut up.
PFW in progress.
Jack, tell me a story.
You.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch, Annie Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, and Mike in the booth, because Gary is eating buffet right now.
I think he's doing a heck of a job. It just goes to show that Gary really is useless.
Okay.
Tom, you saw 48 Hours, right?
Yeah.
You know that scene in the open there, you know, I want a nice place with a nice atmosphere, and then Nick Nolte says, you know, wait, I know a place. What does he get him?
He gets some Zagnut bar.
Zagnut bar, very nice.
Oh, good, okay.
Go ahead. You can talk amongst yourself over there.
I used to love those.
Zagnut?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
I was
it's like
say, I never
it's got
had
the
one.
Coconut on the outside, right?
No, it's
that's a mound.
Toasted.
Mound
it's got
bar.
That
toasted almond.
Toasted almond.
That's it.
Yeah.
Toasted almond. All right. Russell writes in, I'm still working through my 29th podcast show, but I must say Tom's refusal to answer one of Frank's questions in the pre-draft article by saying it was too stupid was classic and everything that makes Casale irreplaceable. So I was all jazzed. I don't know.
I wouldn't answer one of the questions, but the difference with Russell is that he doesn't realize that we all came up with those questions together. Tom just refused to answer one of them.
I was all jazzed for some prime linebacking help, and I get a safety. Kudos to Big Show Perillo for having Merriweather on his list of first round Pats picks and 2008 draft picks. The 49ers were 9-7 this year. One would think with a few upgrades they've made through draft and free agency, they'll be at least that good. Explain me the logic of trading that pick and not taking Beeson. Now, I'm not a cap expert, but it looks like they will be in trouble by the time Warren and Wilfork's contract is due, and still Samuel waits. I know you're all happy Moss has been added, but I just don't think they needed him, his attitude, or salary. But now that he's here, who goes? Gaffney, Caldwell, Welker, a combo of all three? Thanks for the good show.
Welker. Welker's a good pick there. Welker's virtually guaranteed because of his money.
Caldwell's done.
I think Caldwell and Gaffney are both in a lot of trouble, and I think Kelly Washington by no means has a spot locked up. And the other stuff that was interesting that we haven't talked about yet today is that day two press conference with Bill. Asked about Troy Brown again, he maintains what he said a couple of weeks
still
back.
Still expects him to have a role
still
on the team.
Still expects him to have a role on the team. So if there's a role for him,
it could be in the front office.
Well, that's true. I mean, you never know with Bill. It's you know, the semantic games that he plays. But I got to take him at face value and say that he's going to be on the team at some point in 2007. How many receivers can you have?
The phone call is 508-543-7482 in case you want to call, and Phil does, and he's on the line right now. Phil from Austin, how you doing?
Good, great. My question is, do the Patriots have a wide receiver coach now?
Yes, Nick Caserio.
Okay.
Thanks. All right. Well, good talking to you.
Chatting with you. Take care, Phil.
No, really what I called is, you guys had that discussion a little while ago about being objective, and the reason why I like to listen to you guys is because you sound like fans. I mean, you're really knowledgeable, you try and be objective, but you sound like fans and not like media members.
Well, that's.
I don't know if you consider that a
thanks,
compliment
I think.
Or not.
Yeah, I'm wondering where you're going with this.
Well, we're sort of in a gray area.
You are.
I mean, we cover the team. I think these guys cover the team as good, if not better, than anyone. But hey, I know I am a fan. I want the Patriots to win.
We all are fans.
We all
are.
We
also
are
different.
But we also have a job.
Paul has no fun when he's a fan. He doesn't like to stand up. Doesn't like.
I don't.
But I'm being serious here.
And I actually love.
Are different too.
I love watching football.
Not all fans look at things the same way.
To say that I don't have fun watching games is stupid. I'm as high strung and wired as anybody watching games. If you guys recall the beginning of the San Diego game, you both had to sedate me in the playoffs last year. You remember? With those passes getting tipped, and we looked like we were going to turn the ball over on every play at the beginning of the game?
No, I don't remember.
No, of course not, because it backs up my point.
I don't recall.
Well,
when Tom looked at you and go, Jesus, we're going to have to put up with this all day?
I think unlike, you know, a lot of the members of the Boston media try and demonstrate their objectivity, and by doing so, they just come off as cynical.
That's right.
And I hope you guys don't ever do that.
Well, the difference between objectivity and what a lot of people think is objectivity is people, and especially in the Boston media, I think they confuse the two. They think being negative is being objective.
Right.
And that's not – I try not to do that.
But you also have to remember a lot of native New Englanders are negative, are cynical. It's – some sort of
well,
like,
it's, but it's like you—it's like you go and get a guy like J.D. Drew in the Red Sox, and I'm using the Red Sox on purpose because it's something we're detached from. And you saw it, Andy. We talk about it all the time. 90% of the people in Boston had to lampoon the move. Why? Because that's being objective. No, it's not. You're being negative. You're being negative because you're saying this guy can't do A, B, and C when you've never really even seen him play full-time, you know, so you can make a logical assessment. And it was only like the real nuts and bolts baseball beat writers that kind of looked at it and said, well, you know, he's an OBP machine, right, and blah, 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 blah. You know, columnists that just kind of like watch the game from afar were killing the Red Sox for that. Now, I don't know, maybe it's going to turn out to be a terrible move, but I think that people confuse that the objectivity is just negativity. And I think we all try not to just be negative, but we try to look at both sides of the equation.
All right.
If that makes any sense. Phil, we
appreciate the call.
All right. Hang on to your pom-poms.
All right. Phil from Austin.
Yeah. That depressed me, that call. I got to tell you.
Why? You don't like to be called
a fan?
Fan? No.
You're not a fan?
I am a fan, but
so why don't you like to be called?
I would rather that not be the thing that shows through
my
job.
What you're doing, it shows.
Yeah, he
through.
Says like when we sit here and talk, we sound like you
don't,
know.
It's not a bad thing.
Fan
Paul.
Brings passion.
Well, there's some people that get on TV, you know, that look like robots.
You would argue that I don't.
That's just how you are a fan.
Yeah.
We're all different as fans.
Differing opinions.
All
there
fans
on that,
like some like to go to bars, some don't. Some like to do things. Paul doesn't. Anything that's fun.
Sandy in Sioux City has a little bit of a
tick.
Difference.
Tick, 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 tick.
Is that for you or Randy Moss?
He's really on you today.
I don't know what happened.
Like white on rice.
I can't believe how off this is. I mean, it's just anybody that knows me that hears this kind of stuff will be laughing to hear him. Characterizing me like this because I don't like to stand up at a game.
That's true.
And I don't like to either. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, but we all know that you're just a bump on a couch.
Sandy in Sioux City says, what the hell was that about the trading in the draft? If we trade our first extra round picks every year, what good is it? Can that 2008 first round pick help our defense this year? I guess everybody left at 20 and 28 really did suck, huh? The Randy Moss deal is what really burns me up. This deal sucks. Bargains are only bargains if you need it. We did not need another wide receiver, nor did my wife need that pair of shoes that was half price to go with the other 400 freaking pairs of shoes she has. Moss is a quitter. He sucks. Yes, he may have talent, but he is a quitter. I am making a prediction right now. We will be in the playoffs playing the Colts, and Brady will throw the ball up for Moss, who will decide to quit on the play, and the ball would be picked off and taken the other way. The guy is bad news. He sucks. Write it down. The whole team is starting to look like the Redskins, except we have a quarterback. Quit bragging this loser up. Now, every time I watch a game, the media will be zoomed in on this quitter. I am a little pissed. Well, P.S. Great coverage. Frank, Saul, Sandy, and Tony. Loved every minute. I think he's got the wrong show. But
who is that?
Sandy in Sioux City, Iowa.
So there's a different perspective.
Well,
he's not happy. Yeah,
a lot of people aren't happy.
Yeah, that's about as.
But
about as negative a look at the trade as I've.
But I
seen.
I think most of the polls, 86% of the Patriots fans anyway, think it's.
And well, and here's,
good
here's the thing: when you make a trade, people didn't think that the Seahawks pick would be this good, and it was. Now you look at the Niners. If you look at them on paper, they'll probably win at least 8 or 9 games if everyone stays healthy. But as Andy pointed out on draft day, what if Alex Smith gets hurt? What right. if Frank Gore gets hurt? Then all of a sudden you're picking in that top 12 area, right. So you don't know where the pick's going to be. What the Patriots are saying is, we think we can get better guys next year
right.
with 2 picks. And like Andy and Paul pointed out on the draft show, gives them more flexibility again heading
right.
into the draft.
Right.
This year they could trade for a Wes Welker. They could trade for a Randy Moss because they had those picks. Next year, more flexibility. So I think in that aspect, it's a good move.
Patty from Ireland, Andy sucks, he says. What's up, A-team and A-hole? I would just like to say well done to everyone at PFW, especially Tom, because your draft coverage is second to none, even though Andy, a poor man's Tom Casale, did his best to ruin the draft by talking about his phone for 2 hours. I heard Frank say that the Patriots website is ranked 6th in the league. I think if you fire Andy, the Marquise Hill of PFW heart, you would be number one in no time. Keep up the good work, Tom, Paul, Frank, and even you, Gary. Screw you, Andy.
Now, I got to defend
Keep
Andy
drinking,
here.
Brother.
At least Marquise Hill at one point had some talent.
You're defending Andy? Oh, Marquise Hill.
What Marquise Hill?
What about my phone?
It must have been like the last Wednesday when we were talking about the
Oh, you're a long distance thing. You see, that's,
I didn't bring that up. No, I brought that
what it's
up.
Called. What's Skype?
Remember when I said that I don't
Skype and you Skype. Can't afford it, you drunk.
But remember when I said I don't mind
you
the
You have to have internet
arguments.
In Ireland. They don't unless run on potatoes unless you stick a couple of those little metal things in it.
Remember when I said I don't mind the stupid arguments until you get Fred involved?
Drinking
because
dumbass.
We were talking about the phone. Then Fred got all serious about Skype and had Gary doing Google searches for it and giving the prices for it. And
they don't even have internet in Ireland, do they? All they have is green grass and Guinness.
They don't have internet in Ireland.
Not where green Patty the Drunk grass. Lives. Green grass and Guinness. What else do they have over there? Whole potatoes. I forgot that, too.
What about that famine they had?
Yeah, because everybody got sick of drinking beer and eating potatoes.
Let's see. Phil in Nova Scotia. I have a great idea for your next cover of PFW. Imagine this, a photo of Randy Moss mooning the Green Bay fans with an inset picture of Tom Brady holding a baby in each arm and the headline reading, Brady's Randy. Yeah, I know
that,
it's lame.
PFW's final edition.
I guess that's why I sling feed bags and you guys
collector's
write about
item.
Football.
Collector's item. Last
right,
copy.
Last issue. Seriously, though, if this year works out, I'm all for the Patriots becoming Coach Belichick's school for wayward boys. Imagine if the commissioner, instead of fining or suspending players, sent them to New England. He could say something like, now you listen here, Mr. Pac-Man. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to send you to live with Uncle Bill in New England. I have one question, though. Would electronic ankle bracelets violate the NFL equipment code? Phil's trying his best to be a little comedian here. I'm not getting much of a reaction, though, from the guys.
Inside cover. Paul Perlow's house with a for sale sign out in front.
Thanks again for covering the draft. This is the first year that I paid close attention, and that is because of the
Too
work
bad.
You guys put into covering it. Now I just have to keep myself from wishing the summer away, waiting for the season to start. I'm right with you there, Phil.
Tom, when do we start on the 08 draft?
On the 08 draft at the
April
end of the
27th.
At the end of the 07 season.
Okay, we're not going to do
oh,
anything
already,
special.
We looked in like some of the players available, like the USC linebackers and stuff, but we don't talk about linebackers here anymore when it comes to the
That's
draft.
That's true.
So.
And in all seriousness, I did see that that ABC primetime lineup of the games mm-hmm. to come up. Did you see some of the games?
No,
have
I haven't
coming
seen
up?
It.
You know, it's all the regular ones that you always see. You know,
USC, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame... UCLA is one of them. Cal USC is one of them. You know, those are the 8 o'clock Saturday night games.
UCLA
is
supposed to be pretty good this year, so we'll see.
Paul,
how that...
can you pass me a water?
I can do that for
Thanks.
You, Fred. No problem.
I'm getting a little dry mouth here.
Might have to get myself another Pepsi now. How can I go in without getting anything?
How many Pepsis did you drink over the weekend?
Oh, I had at least a 6-pack each day.
Jeez,
at least.
Probably more than that.
Huh?
I'm saying he had at least 20.
Food wasn't bad over the weekend.
Yes, it was.
You didn't like it?
Fajitas were a terrible letdown.
Oh, I thought it was okay.
They screwed them up. They had no chicken. They normally have chicken to go in them. The little things were sort of stale.
I didn't have 20 Pepsis over the weekend, by the way.
20 cookies?
No. There was only cookies one day.
Yeah, and you had 20.
Come on, guy. I didn't have as many cookies as you had plates of that pulled pork.
Oh, that was good. That was good. I forget, but they even screwed that up because they didn't have rolls.
They didn't have rolls. What was that all about?
Every little thing they screwed up a little bit.
Basically, the bottom line is we'll find a way to complain about everything that we get for nothing.
Yanksy from London says, thanks for the great work over the weekend, especially under the circumstance that the Pats made only one first-day pick, which made the draft less exciting. There have been several reports regarding Randy Moss's 40 times. Chris Mortensen of ESPN reported that the Pats and the Packers timed him last week at 4.29 and 4.3. Adam Schefter of NFL Network said in an interview with EEI on Monday that his trainer clocked him last week at like 4.3, a 4.33, and a 4.35. Also on Monday, on the official website of Randy Moss, his agent Tim DiPerio said, Randy has been highly motivated this spring to get in excellent shape and prove he still has it. Last week, after running several wind sprints, he ran 2 out of 3 sub-4.3 40-yard sprints. He is healthy, in great shape, and becoming a Patriot has given him the same kind of enthusiasm he had entering his rookie season. End quote. It's probably safe to say that Moss can still run. Also, Mike Reese reported that Tom Brady agreed to restructure his contract so that the Patriots could absorb the 9.75 cap hit that came with the Moss trade. Let's hope that he can build some chemistry with Moss on the field as well.
Well, there's He might be running that now, but I keep showing these guys. There's an interesting clip they show with the Raiders when Moss catches that deep pass. He's in the clear, and you'll notice the Cowboys, Terrence Newman, flying up on him like he's standing still. Now, Newman's fast, but that same year, Dante Stallworth was in the open against Terrence Newman, and he separated and just said goodbye. So there's a chance Moss might not even be the fastest receiver on this team because Stallworth can fly, and I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying the 4.28 from Randy at this stage in his career.
No chance. And by the way, what's the bottom line to those little two stories you told? Apparently a lot of receivers got in the open field against the Cowboys that year.
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of chasing.
But Terrence Newman caught up to one of them, and he was Randy Moss. The others all scored.
Yeah, but he wasn't in an Oakland uniform. He doesn't try as hard, or he wasn't winning, or there's an excuse for that.
I would bet that the fastest player on this team is Dante Stallworth, if I had to put money on it.
Hmm. Okay.
But if he's running anywhere, you know, sub 4.4.
Yeah, that's fine.
Same.
Yeah.
Although the big question is still, like, the explosion, too.
That's
what
I think
he
the
run
key, the
through
explosion.
The 10 yards and, you know, taking off, getting off the line of scrimmage,
he's
taking one of those.
He always amazed me, though, because he never looks like he's running hard.
Right.
But
you watch
that, it's like a gazelle.
Right, you watch the other guys around him and see that he gets further and further away from them.
Yeah. Let's see. Steve says, Tom, Andy, Paul, and Jake Steele. First, congrats to Andy
Jake
and Paul for all the procreating.
Thank you.
Love
Thank
the
you
new format.
Much.
We need more of these back-to-back three-hour shows following a couple hours in the morning.
Shut
they
your
still
mouth.
Make Jolt Cola. Do you guys watch the same college football tapes the Patriots watch?
No,
How
yes.
did you miss Corey Hilliard and Justin Rogers?
No, we don't see that. We didn't have any film with either one of those two guys. We had
no film on a lot of the guys.
Yeah,
we have
a bunch of prospects that we get to watch, but those guys didn't make the cut.
He says, on to the draft. How did the Patriots take Corey Hilliard, an absolute best sixth offensive tackle on a team that historically keeps three or four, and Oscar Lua, a backup college football linebacker playing behind a freshman ahead of a guy like Brandon Siler? Siler was SEC Freshman of the Year, SEC Academic Honor Roll, a starter at middle linebacker on the national championship team, 4.52 in the 40, plays hurt. I'm not crazy about Siler. There were plenty of other linebackers I like better, but come on. How do you make a decision like that? Is there some kind of guarantee Bruschi is going to play every snap this year?
Well, they just didn't like him. Obviously, right. They've had plenty of chances to draft him.
And that plays hurt part might play into it because there might be some injury concerns,
yeah,
although you can say with Lua,
yeah,
the same thing.
I think that's
pretty sure Bill got a decent recommendation or non-recommendation on Brandon Siler from Urban Meyer. He's grown pretty close to Meyer and apparently didn't exactly rave about him or something.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Next year when it's 7 o'clock at night and you've got the college football DVDs of linebackers to watch and The Simpsons is on, what do?
Simpsons.
You watch
Simpsons.
The Simpsons because they're never going to draft a linebacker.
We're done with linebackers.
Oh, and we prefer our bad boys to be the most fined in the NFL for violent hits caliber, not the prima donna kind. So I guess that's a knock on Moss, I guess.
Moss in praise of Harrison.
So if I hope these emails still come in if Moss scores against Miami and pretends to moon him.
I got no problem with that.
I had no problem with that.
I don't either. But I'm saying
I didn't either.
I have no problem with that, but I'm just saying he's saying,
I mean, a lot of that was Joe Buck.
I was going to say my problem with that was Joe Buck.
Yeah.
I laughed.
Saying it was the most offensive thing since
the Prince of Pomposity.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't that bad. It's just having fun.
And there's a whole story
behind it. Squirting the ref.
No, but there's a whole story behind it, too, right?
Like, the ref wasn't having fun.
Why is that?
Because it wasn't meant to be in a joke.
Oh, I think it was. He was just squirting water on the ref. Big deal.
Okay.
I shot a paperclip at the librarian once in high school. It was a big deal. Just having
Andy.
Fun. I still got kicked out of the library.
Isn't there a whole story behind the Moss mooning thing? How the Packer fans moon them when they come in every year?
Yes.
So there was a story behind it that he was having fun with, too.
Right. I have no problem with that. The whole thing when that was a big touchdown that put the game away and he had some fun.
He's a good kid.
I think of that the same way.
He's a good kid.
I'm speechless.
I wish you. You're lucky there's not a camera in here right now, Fred, so people can see your face. He's a good kid.
Ravi in Indianapolis says, I know every question you were all getting this week is probably about Moss in the draft, but I had a question about something else. What role would Troy Brown have on this team now? What about Kelly Washington? What receivers in general make the roster? I can't see them keeping anyone from last year except Jackson, Brown, and maybe Caldwell. That's three.
That's all.
they only had five or six, right?
And Jackson on PUP. You could do all that.
But all the rest of them.
And also, P.S., remember when Oldenburg's brother wrote into Ask PFW to ask about Clint getting drafted?
Yep.
Yes, that's why Tom wrote about it.
One time, a band
camp. We do remember. We were reminded of it by Mike Reese, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, he confirmed it.
Right.
So it actually did happen.
Imagine... No.
You're not going to...
Come on, you...
Imagine the audacity of confirming something that we did ourselves. I mean, Tom did it. I don't think you needed to have it confirmed to him.
The best part about my response was, let's be honest, Lee, you know your brother's probably not going to get drafted. He goes in the fifth round.
All right. Let's see. Who is this? Somebody says, leave Merriweather alone. So we didn't draft Griffin and Beeson, like I said, so I don't get the standing ovation I asked for. Also, I had no idea.
There is kind of an asterisk since Griffin wasn't available.
Right.
Okay. Beeson, okay, he was available, but... You don't get a standing ovation for...
No, he's saying he doesn't get it.
Oh, I thought he was saying he's looking for
no,
it.
No, I don't get the standing ovation I asked for. He was saying...
I thought he was being sarcastic.
I remember the email before the draft said, if they get these guys, I should get a standing ovation. So he's saying
I thought it was the opposite. Okay, my bad.
Anyway.
I thought it was the opposite that he was saying.
Also, I had no idea there was going to be two PFWs during the draft. Maybe it was said on the show the Wednesday before, but if I had known, I would have sent an email before... Merriweather is a good pick because we needed a little help in the deep secondary. Everybody seems to have a comment about Merriweather's not-so-smart choices in college. The thing is, it's just that. It happened in college. Sure, it's a story and something to mention on Merriweather, but unless he acts up in the pros, it's not a huge concern as people make it out to be. His new mentor in Rodney Harrison will lead him on the right path, even though his road is not too crooked as it is. The same could be said for Moss. Anyway, I don't know about anyone else, but I wasn't upset, but I was more disappointed the Pats didn't draft somebody at 28. Belichick knows his linebacker, so if he didn't think Harris was a good pickup at 28, then who are we to argue to say he was? It always says a lot about this year's draft class. Yeah,
see, now these are the fans that Paul's talking about that I don't like.
Yeah, we get the 49ers first round pick.
You're exactly right on that,
Paul. But it's a chance it's going to be another high first rounder like Seattle's. It's nice to look to the future with two first round picks again next year, but drafting in the present would have been nice.
Let me ask you something, Paul. After Marquise Hill was drafted, any good players come after him?
I'm sure they
were. Okay, Bethel Johnson, any good players after him?
I'm sure they were.
Well, so don't say that you can never question anything, because I'll tell you right now, if David Harris is a good player for the Jets, we won't have to say anything, because all those emailers will be emailing in asking, why didn't they take David Harris? Why didn't they pick David Harris?
But if they didn't need Randy Moss, then they didn't need the number 28th pick. Right?
What?
I'm not killing them for whatever.
If they didn't need Randy Moss to be a Super Bowl team. They were clearly a Super Bowl team before, then...
Oh, right, but I'm just saying, I don't think you can say, well, we can't ever question it because...
Oh, yeah, I question a lot of stuff.
The draft is also about the future.
Should we revisit
it's not about
that
this
Wes
year.
Welker trade?
To me, the one mistake they made in that draft, and I think it's going to pan out to be this way, is that they passed on David Harris. I thought, and Andy thought, and Paul thought, that he was the second-best 3-4 linebacker behind Patrick Willis. They had a chance. They could move down. They could have gotten him, I think, and they passed on him. That could be a mistake.
For once, they had a guy with the size that they look for, and they still weren't interested. So I don't know. I don't know what it would take for them to ever draft one.
Quick under-over for you guys. Number of emails in SPFW in our inbox of interest in Joe Andruzzi, ? I'm going 5.
Yeah, that's a good number.
What is he,
I'll
like
take
40
the,
now?
I'll take the over.
Yeah, we don't need him. Yeah, Oldenburger.
Is there an ER on the end?
I call Oldenburger. Him Oldenburger.
It's kind of like when I type cornerback. I always write cornerbacker. I don't know why.
Let's see. Mike writes in, Cadillac Frank, Big Show, Perillo, and the A-Team. How's it going? Loving the Moss pickup, and the more I read about Merriweather, the more I liked him. I was stunned to hear that Frank likes the moves. Were you guys a stunt at me when you heard that Moss is going to be making just $3 million salary and no signing bonus? Wow. He must really want to be a Patriot. The Pats really have him by the balls now. No, I did not edit myself. He's wondering if Frank has as much control as Fred does. Steele to you, my friend.
I was not surprised with that contract. I don't think that Randy Moss had a whole lot of leverage.
No, he didn't want to be in Oakland.
He was going to sign a one-year deal, so he wasn't going to get a signing bonus.
Hey, you know, it's smart for him, too. He's going to get $3 million. He might get $5 million with the incentives. And he's going to be on a winning team that's going to make him look good. So next year he'll get another big contract.
And he only wanted a one-year deal because he didn't want to be stuck in case that he did have the opportunity to cash in.
Right.
So,
but
I think this, the contract is about what he was going to get.
Andy, did you find what Don Banks said interesting when we were with Felger there? He said when Moss was at his best early on in Minnesota playing playground ball.
They didn't have plays.
They just threw it up to him. But it's going to be interesting here because they don't really do that in New England. They have set plays, and I wonder if that's going to frustrate him at all.
And Banks would know because he was covering Minnesota those guys 2 years.
We'll see.
I mean, obviously, he's going to run a lot of fly routes here, let's be honest. But
all I'll say about that is I thought Junior Seau had zero chance to fit in on defense, and he played pretty well last year.
Mike from the North End, same email. He says, his question is this: how do you think the Pats will use Moss? Belichick said that he is effective at all three levels of the route tree, short, medium, and long. But from what I've seen, he does not run the precise routes that the Pats system typically requires. We were just talking about that. Do you imagine the Pats will make Moss run their system, or will the system bend to fit Moss? Obviously, Dandy Randy will go deep more than someone like Caldwell, but they still have him running the pick plays and zone reads that have been the staples of the Pats offense. This is particularly interesting because with Stallworth on the opposite side and Wes Welker Kirsch or Caldwell running the slot routes, it seems to me that the Pats could play the same kind of vertical attack as the Colts do and the Rams once did. 15-yard ins, outs, stops, and once the defense starts biting on those, throw in a double move or post and beat them over the top. Still, it's hard for me to imagine them going away from what's worked, and that has always been the control spread short passing game for this team. Either way, Maroney and Watson are in for a monster year. Book it!
Hey, what do you guys think of this? Any maybe change in philosophy because of the turf? I'm not saying they wouldn't have gone out and
gotten
them.
You know, Tom, that's a darn good point.
They're going for speed guys. Now they have this turf, and he was just mentioning the Colts and Rams, what made me think about it.
That's
the
a darn
turf
good,
teams.
That's a darn good point, Tom.
You think that has anything
I think it could. I think it could have been a factor, you know, whether or not they, you know, geared their whole offseason and all their transactions to that. I don't think so, but I think it might have been a factor. Sure, why not? The whole thing about Moss and the different routes that he runs, too. And I think, Andy, you and I talked about this before. I would love to see him back, remembering his Minnesota days. I want to see one of those 15-yard in-cuts where he just runs away from everybody. Those, to me, are the most impressive plays. You know, anybody can run a go route where you get a guy to bite on a move or whatever, and you just run by a guy. But when you got a guy and he's chasing you across the field and no one can catch
it, and they happen so fast. You know, Jerry Rice, you know, from Montana, those were great when – And even Taylor, but, you know, he cut across the middle, he'd hit him, and he'd be gone. And Rice wasn't that fast, but he had that football speed.
Right.
You know, and that was it. He was gone. And it just bang. It just happened so fast. And it was a communication between the quarterback and the receiver that, you know, just takes time to develop.
And that's Andy's point, which is going to be interesting to see how long does Brady and Moss, because you're talking about Taylor and Rice. They went with Montana for a while.
Right, right.
So it'll be interesting to see if Moss and Brady get on that page.
Fred, there's your tennis match. Just
that was Nadal against Federer.
Oh, it was Nadal against Federer?
Yeah, I didn't think it made much sense for Sampras.
Yeah.
Who won?
Because Nadal was a big...
They're playing on half clay, half grass.
See, I think it would have been better if they had it halfway down the middle. Then... You know, you're always got half to
that
play.
That might have been tough footing wise, though.
Maybe because
Nadal won.
So Federer's a joke.
Well, but he's also 7-3 all time against him
on
regular.
Federer
court.
Is starting to lose a little bit.
Is that the guy that always beats him?
Nadal's the only one who can beat him.
Yeah, so 7-3 didn't really matter about the court. He's going to beat him.
Who's going to watch De La Hoya Merriweather?
I want to watch De La Hoya get his head pounded in.
You think
that fight will be over in 3 rounds?
That's Saturday night, right?
Yeah, you'd be lucky
is
to
it
get
on pay-per-view?
$60.
This thing will be over in 2 minutes.
$60, you'd be lucky to get 3 rounds worth.
You think so?
Oh,
they'll make it last.
No,
are you buying it?
It's all fixed.
Are you buying it?
I'll probably end up buying it.
Are we going over Fred's house Saturday?
You want to come over?
No.
Right.
Too far.
Tom
will be there, though.
If you're going to pay $60 to get that fight, I'll be there with bells on.
If I didn't live 7 hours from your house, I would be there.
I'll find out.
You guys come to my house Saturday night, I'll buy it.
Wait. Did you hear that?
What?
Say it again.
I'll find out if I can.
Ask Nikki.
Someone gets the fight, I'll be there.
I love the sheepish little grin. I'll find out if I can buy it.
I'm usually a sucker for those.
If you don't know if you can come out and play, I guess I'll just forget it.
Let's see. TG and NJ says, wow, all it took was a little sleep deprivation from the draft to bring back old Paul and Fred. Welcome back, old Paul and Fred. I love it when you guys mix it up. Reminds me of home. I think you guys should do all the PFWs on sleep deprivation, and from now on it adds a special quality
do the show.
I took abuse from my siblings all afternoon for sticking around to watch the draft on Saturday just to have the Pats trade their third-round pick. After this year, I am not very incentivized to watch another draft.
Shouldn't be.
Based on last Wednesday's show.
Only guys like Tom watch the draft wire to wire.
I was bored this year. Even I got bored.
Based on last Wednesday's show, which team drafted Skype? Did he go in one of the late rounds, and which team drafted Jake Steele? I missed that pick as well. So now we know the Pats won't draft linebackers unless they kill and skin wild animals. With all the trouble Mike Vick is in with his canine Abu Ghrabi, maybe the Falcons should have taken Brady Quinn when they had the chance. So I guess it's the waiver wire for linebackers again this year. What can I say, men? The best draft coverage of a bad draft. Great job, guys. Late congrats to Paul and Andy on their additions to the PFW family. Good job, men.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I like that Abu Ghrabi reference.
You like that? You should probably use it.
I don't know what
it
means.
Steal it for your own. It's that prison where the Iraqis...
Isn't that Abu Ghraib?
Oh.
Abu Ghraib? I don't know.
I don't think it's supposed to be Grabe.
Grabayase.
Just guessing. Mike Smirkin in the other room, he looks like a learned fellow with that shirt and tie on. Maybe he knows a little something about the real world.
Let's see. MPH. Who is this? Oh,
Miles Brower?
Matt from Quincy. No one loves the draft more than
I do. Those are good initials, if those are his initials. That's pretty cool.
No one loves the draft more than I do, and you guys did a great job with your coverage this weekend. I still have the voice of Casale in my head saying, that pick sucked. It was every pick.
I was going to say, when did we not hear that?
Tom was in as bad a mood as I've seen him over the
weekend.
Yeah, you were in a pretty bad mood.
You weren't in Indy when he didn't have internet in his hotel room.
How come everybody's saying having a
bad mood? I was
going to
say, maybe Rich Perlow was on.
I was sick. Maybe that's
what
it was.
I thought it was just what the Cowboys were doing.
What do I care about the Cowboys? They stink.
A couple of my favorite things with Tom and the Cowboys were the whole rant and rave about the trade. And then, you know, he wanted to get a guy right then and there to help him immediately. And I'm telling you, the name he used was like Anthony Spencer. And then about a half hour later, they traded back up and took Anthony Spencer, to which Tom just went on a tirade. They're so predictable.
Because Paul gave me false information. He said that they traded.
Information.
You said you gave me the rounds wrong.
I didn't give you any. The trade hadn't even been announced yet.
You were making them up then.
I can't believe that you're going to blame this on me.
Oh, anyway, as a fan of the draft, I think it's time for the NFL to make it a little more fan-friendly. My opinion, there are a few things the league can do.
Fred, this is right up your alley. You're always looking to make the draft fun.
I am. First, shorten the first two rounds, 15 to 10 minutes. Who needs that much time? The GMs use all that time just to show the owners they are really doing their job. Honestly, the first round should be the easiest. Let's go to 10 for the first, 7 for the second, and 5 for every round after that. There's no way the first day should end at 11 o'clock at night.
I agree with that.
But you got to have time for them to do
the trades. Yes. That's what it is.
That's the problem. Two, can we just keep the cameras off the players until they get selected? I have to believe the league asked the top players to show up. Then, when one inevitably slips, the league is just taking a big dump on his head by showing his misery constantly. Yes. I thought we would see Quinn just as his semi-hot girlfriend was breaking up with his non-top 10 pick ass.
So, now, see, that's what I found interesting. A lot of varying opinions on what she was. Semi-hot, not hot, she's a 10, she's a 2.
He turns like he had the most profound thing to say. Now, that's what I really found interesting.
The talk at
I thought
the
he was going to say varying opinions on why Quinn slipped in the
exactly.
draft.
Exactly.
Like I was talking about the blonde.
I had a chance to break down Brady Quinn's girlfriend, and the opinions ranged from semi-hot to really not very attractive.
I thought she was slightly above average.
Okay.
I think she was a 50-footer.
I think if she didn't have blonde hair, you wouldn't even look
at her.
She was
a 50-footer.
That sways me.
Yeah, sways
blonde
me,
blonde hair
too.
And big boobs. I'm there. I didn't get to see the
kinda
boobs.
Kind of like Fred.
Shoot. What?
Kind of like Fred at the gym.
How about a few less panelists? I only saw the ESPN telecast, but it's so overproduced and overpopulated that I really need to know what Keyshawn thought of the pick. I only wish the Panthers cut him during the show. That would have made for great TV. Then Berman, the real Mr. Irrelevant, would have asked him, so, what do you think the Panthers need now, Key? Then they would have a backup panel headed by the impossibly named Trey Wingo. How about just Mel, who I like, Jaworski, who I don't, or Kirk Herbstreit, and a moderator like Chris Fowler, who, unlike Berman, has an idea about college football players.
Exactly. Why don't they use Kirk Herbstreit?
Well, you know what they do? They have eight different... He's right. We watch the NFL Network, by the way, for pretty much 98% of the time. But when I was outside... I saw ESPN, and they're like, okay, now let's go to this set. Now let's go to this set. They were all over the place. You can't have that. They try to get their entire crews on there for draft day. It's too much.
But where is Herbstreit?
I think it's overwhelming, and I think the Fowler-Herbstreit combination I think would work well. The only thing I would tend to disagree a little bit with the other guys is, yeah, we watched NFL Network, and I'd have all the same.
But they don't have quite
I'd have
as
all
big
the same
of a cast,
criticisms,
though, Paul.
That I would have on
ESPN. Had guys who should have been on
Dukes.
TV, like Steve Mariucci and Jamie
Dukes. I'm not
Dukes.
Saying it wasn't
half
annoying.
Half of the guys they were going to didn't have anything to say. The only one that had anything to say, and God knows Andy spent the whole weekend disagreeing with everything he said, was Mayock.
Right, but at least
Adam
he
Schefter,
has something to say.
Adam Schefter was doing the reporting, and Mayock had something to say about, right. You know,
see, I thought those two were good. That's
I
why
that,
I
thought that was good.
I don't have to agree with him, but at least he has something relevant.
Right.
Steve
right.
Mariucci says,
Mariucci
yeah,
gave
Andre
you
Carter.
Nothing. Jamie Dukes gave you nothing.
Jamie Dukes gave me, he yells about
well,
everything.
Jamie Dukes should be fired.
And there,
on
were,
the
there
spot.
Were at least a cast of about 8 or 10 other guys like Charles Davis or Charles White. I didn't even know who they were.
Instead of Jamie Dukes, where's Dion? Let him do that segment where you email in because at least he would be funny and tell you stories. Who cares about Jamie Dukes?
I like stories.
But ESPN is just, they just have way too many people there
for
the draft.
I agree. Wholeheartedly.
Let's see. Matt also says, what I don't need is Susie Colbert, who, other than having a huskier voice than mine, adds nothing to the show. So, yeah, she's gone down.
She got the job.
She does. She does add nothing. And I used to be a big fan, but evidently it was strictly a physical thing, because now that she's lost her looks, I find her very annoying.
Well, being the sexist pigs that we are, it always with the female reporters is strictly physical. At Erin Andrews, they should bump her up.
Oh, tremendous.
Let's see. Dwayne says, I guess now Dylan is the guy who never quit on his team and was always hardworking.
No.
And Moss is the guy who will quit on the team and never gave his best effort. If you go by what was said by Clark Judge and Peter King, amazing. I can remember looking at the Raiders season.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, because last year when I was talking about Corey Dillon dogging it in training camp, we got emails criticizing me for being negative.
No, but he's saying Clark Judge and Peter King are saying this now.
That Corey Dillon?
That Dillon was the guy that
never quit on his team,
was always hardworking. And
that's not true, because he wasn't hardworking when I was
Well,
here.
I'm not saying.
I don't think he was hardworking when it ended in Cincinnati. I think he pouted when Rudy Johnson took his job.
No, but this is what he's saying Clark Judge and Peter King is saying.
But we're disagreeing.
I don't know what they're saying now. Well, he's disagreeing, too. He's saying
right. Well, I'm not disagreeing with
Dylan's
the email.
Because Dylan's gone and Moss is.
I can remember looking
and
at
Moss, is it better to take a play off or raise your hand and say, I need to be replaced for a couple plays? Either way, you're not producing for the team for the reason you're supposed to be there.
I can remember looking at the Raiders season opener last year thinking of myself, man, this must suck for Randy Moss. Granted, he wanted to be on the Raiders.
Why
but
doesn't
they,
it suck for Lamont Jordan?
But they had a head coach who hadn't coached in 3 years, a terrible O-line to block for their terrible quarterback, and an offensive coordinator that had been out of the game as long as any head coach. I mean, that situation gives no chance really for any wide receiver to excel. So even if Randy did dog it at times, the whole team stunk. It was 2-14.
What about Lamont Jordan?
He wasn't the only one. I'm not making excuses for Moss, but if 1 year I was on a 2-14 team and the next I was on a Super Bowl favorite, I would be too excited to screw up. One could make the argument that throughout his career, Moss has played up to the abilities of his quarterback. He excelled with Dante Culpepper and Randy Cunningham, was average with Kerry Collins, and stunk with Aaron Brooks. Marquise Teosso-Sopo. Now he has Tom Brady. Imagine if he plays up to Brady's level.
I have a quick question for you guys. And someone emailed earlier. Brady's career high, I believe, is 41-10, right?
Two years ago.
41-10 yards. Over or under that this year?
Over.
Slightly over, but not like the 48 some people think.
Fred?
It's right
What's
around
the
there, I think.
Brady throws for more or less than 4,110 yards?
You know, by saying less, you say, oh, what do you mean he's not going to have as good a year? But, you know, you got to factor in Maroney might actually do something.
Yeah, they might be ahead a lot.
But I think he's going to have more.
I'm going to say less because I think a combination of all these weapons, I think they're going to score. I think they're going to have big leads and be running the clock out in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It could be.
And Fred,
can I go over or way under?
The other thing about Moss is when we're saying he played for a bad team. Now, the Raiders have been bad for a while, right? Except,
yeah,
okay.
Since 2002.
Okay, now, Moss wanted to go there. And he knew that Al Davis, other than that one year that they were pretty good, has been running that team into the ground, basically, for the last 20 years. So let's not say, oh, he was on a bad team, poor Randy Moss. He wanted to be traded from Minnesota. That's where he went.
I certainly don't say poor anybody for playing on bad teams. That's
no, because Lamont Jordan kept playing. What about poor Lamont Jordan? Every time he touched the ball, he was getting hit by five guys in the backfield.
I don't know much about Lamont Jordan, but I'm just saying there's a lot of guys that play for bad teams and find a way to play. I mean, there's nothing you can do about
that. Well, that was my point with Lamont Jordan. He had a pretty good year catching the ball. I mean, he was still playing hard. He didn't just say, well, I'm going to give up because my team stinks and because we have a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, no.
I think those are terrible excuses.
I'm just saying I don't feel bad for a guy if he's on a bad team. I don't care. You can play hard, he didn't play hard when he was on good teams at times.
There's plenty of bad teams in the league every year, and people are still playing hard.
That's basically my point.
Bryce writes in, Paul. He says, David Ball is underrated. He went to the Bears as a free agent, and he will do well. Book it.
I say he doesn't.
August 25th.
Just cut down?
I don't know. Just throwing a date out there.
Tom from Providence says, loves the show. My question is this. If Moss had gone to the Packers, would Patriots fans have said that the Packers were making a mistake and the Patriots would never have brought him here?
Yep.
I've never been a Moss fan, and it will be a little tough for me to root for him. I want the Pats to win and will justify my cheering as a team thing. So you think Pats fans would have said, oh, the Packers have made a mistake?
Yep. Yeah.
Why? Not because of who Moss is, just because he's on a bad team and they're
not going
to win.
All right,
if the Colts did it, they would say that's a bad move by the Colts.
Why?
They didn't need him. They already have great wide receivers.
No, I
they already won the Super Bowl.
I would be scared. I'd be like, oh, my God, what
else?
I'm
just telling you what I think Patriots
fans'
reactions
would
be. You're one person and you're being a contrarian.
Well, that's the thing. You try to paint things with a broad brush. I wouldn't say that.
I think that
I'd be scared.
The broad brush I've used today has been pretty much confirmed by the majority of our emails.
I'd be scared if the Colts got Randy Moss. I'd be like, oh, now what? How are you going to stop him now? That's what I'd be afraid of.
And you should be. That would be scary.
Dave from Connecticut. I didn't see the draft live, so I'm catching up now. It seems to me the team wasn't interested in as many players as I originally thought. I guess they didn't really like David Harris at 28, but that trade with San Francisco turned into Randy Moss in a number one in 2008, which I think is great. I guess the Patriots didn't think this draft was that deep. Why the third-round trade with Oakland for a seventh in 2007 and a third in 08? Also, how did linebacker Brandon Siler slip to round seven? Wouldn't he have been a great pick in round six? Last but not least, what do you think of the running back, Justice Hairston, from CCSU? Can he make the team?
What did I tell you earlier?
It's Justice.
Justice Hairston. Say it 100 times.
Well, why doesn't he spell it with a C?
Ask his mother.
Okay. What do you think?
About what?
About the email.
We've discussed Justice Hairston. Nice little
what
story.
What about Brandon Siler? Why did he slip to the seventh?
Injuries.
We're hearing injury concerns with the knee.
Is it that bad?
He wasn't that fast to begin with. Maybe he's got an attitude problem. Again, we don't get to talk to these guys. We don't know how, maybe he fell out of favor with teams when he talked with them. But we know speed was the question mark to begin with. And if his knee is a problem, that's going to cause you to slide on draft day.
Shane in Miami, there was one recurring question that I had throughout the second day of the draft. Who are these guys? Exactly. That's what he said. I honestly have never seen or heard of any of the second-day picks. Apparently, NFL and ESPN.com had not either, because only Kareem Brown had a player bio listed for him on their respective websites. I honestly don't know what the point is of taking a bunch of practice squad wannabes and guys that probably would not even have been signed as UFAs. I guess with the Patriots' success of finding late-round gems, I should shut up and enjoy the upcoming season. I said similar things about the 05 draft, and that one turned out okay. Let's wait and see. So,
who exactly are we expecting to find? I mean, I agree that there was a lot of guys that none of us had really ever heard of, even Tom, in terms of those late-round draft picks. But, I mean, are there, like, stars that the Patriots passed up in the fifth round, sixth round, seventh round that I don't know about?
Brandon Siler seems to be the poster boy for that right
but,
now.
But, I mean, so, in other words, if they had drafted Brandon Siler, you would be thinking, But he's got a legitimate shot to make the team as a seventh
round
pick.
Oh, everybody would be happy.
Because I don't think he would have a legitimate shot to make the team as a seventh round pick, if that's what they felt about him. Now, we didn't know at the time, and I shouldn't put you guys, I didn't know. I thought he was like a second or a third round guy.
That's what I thought.
Heading into the draft. I didn't know about his injury concerns. Maybe if he didn't have those, he would have a legitimate shot to make the Patriots. But I just don't understand. I think that you, taking guys like Justin Rogers, for example, a project that you think might be able to make a position change, that's what you do late in the draft. You had 4 sixth-round picks. He was one of them. Andy's guy, Justice Hairston, a very highly productive year at Central Connecticut. Who knows? Maybe he can make the jump. Maybe he was a guy that just, for whatever reason, it didn't work for him at Rutgers. He was capable of playing. It wasn't talent, but for
right,
whatever
he has
reason,
Division I talent.
Maybe it didn't work. So now you give him a shot. That's what you do in the sixth round. Maybe he's a practice squad guy. Maybe he develops. Who knows?
He actually started out going to Iowa, but couldn't qualify academically. Spent a year at Milford Academy for a little Kirk Ferentz connection.
That's somewhat troubling.
Why?
I just wouldn't think that a football player would have a hard time getting into Iowa.
Let's see. Chris Ferreira wants to let us know that Randy Moss was number 88 at Marshall.
And that's correct.
And that number is available.
No, it's not. Unless Kyle Brady is suddenly off the team.
Aha. Uh-huh. So it isn't.
Wow. Bitch slapped.
Thanks, Chris.
What else are you people telling you, Chris?
Matt from Dover, New Hampshire wants to know if Harrison's going to have a conference call. He's interested in hearing an interview with him. He holds the NCAA record for rushing yards in a quarter with 197.
No, he will not, but check out next week's Patriots Football Weekly.
Oh, you were being serious about that? I thought it was a joke.
The only place you'll read quotes from him is Patriots Football Weekly on
Andy Hart.
Newsstands Tuesday.
Andy Hart.
Buy it.
Wednesday. Andy Hart.
Wednesday.
Jeremy from Newmarket,
check
New Hampshire.
Check Tuesday and get last month's subscription.
Newmarket. I'm big in Newmarket.
Oh, yeah?
I have a lot of family.
He
in
says,
Newmarket.
Thanks for all of your hard work. Question. Moss has skills. He's going to be a great addition to the Patriots. 10-plus touchdowns this year. With all of that said, I bet you guys are more excited about the quotes he's going to provide you after
what,
the games.
None?
I don't think there are going to be any, to be
no.
honest with you.
On but the flip side,
I think the ones that we can look forward to, we've already gotten.
Yeah. Is there any chance Bill puts a clamp on Moss and he's not allowed to speak to the media?
No, I just don't think Randy Moss will be speaking to the media.
No, he
I don't
said
think
it twice a year. Didn't he say he'll do it twice a year?
I don't think it'll have anything to do with Bill. I think he'll give us the Troy Brown treatment where he ducks in and out.
Richard says, hey, guys, free lunch on me in a couple weeks. Just need the number for Papa Gino's.
Thanks,
and
Dick.
Your guys' order, you deserve it. Okay. We'll have to send that email to Gary.
Also, I never have to buy lunch again. This is great.
I hope.
Also, say goodbye to Belichick. I don't think the Belichick of 2000 would go out and sign all this expensive free agent talent unless, like the players he is signing, expects to only be around for another year. I don't think Belichick will be going to another team, but I bet after this year he hangs up the clipboard and joins Parcells in some golf course. However, one of the options was to go to the Giants, and didn't they just draft a couple Belichick guys in D'Ossi and Ross? Just a thought. Finally, let's get a new nickname for Maroney. How about Lomo? Sounds like a tough guy nickname, and it's close to the first two letters in his first and last name. I would go with those letters, but I don't think Maroney wants to be called the Llama. Thanks again for these podcasts. You guys are awesome and deserve some free food after the boring draft.
That is an interesting how they drafted D'Ossi. I never even thought about that.
Bill
maybe,
told him
maybe
to.
Bill was working both draft rooms.
Matt from Quincy says, please tell me that the photo of Kareem Brown on your website is actually his grandfather. Seriously, how old is this guy?
I didn't see it. I don't go to our website.
It does look pretty old.
I haven't seen it either.
Phil from Salt Lake City. He says he's originally from North Attleboro, living in Salt Lake. Hope my boss doesn't crack down on all the time I spent checking the website for new content. If Samuel signs a franchise tender, the capped hit is nearly $8 million. If he signs, say, a six-year deal with $18 million guaranteed and $4 million salary the first year, is the cap hit only $7 million? Is the signing bonus spread out over the entire contract?
Yes. In all likelihood, if he signs a long-term deal, the cap number will go down in year one.
Virtual certainty.
Ari from Herndon, Virginia, says he noticed that the Eagles cut Dehani Jones this week. What is your take on him? Any chance that he could be converted to an inside linebacker and add some depth?
I think he'll do well on the NFL Network.
I hate his bow ties.
His bow ties.
He's done, huh?
One of my favorite times, I think it was the playoffs 2 years ago, he walked in the locker room over near Tom Brady. They, of course, played they were teammates at Michigan, and Brady's looking at him with that bow tie on. He's going, "I'm a dork. I'm a dork."
Interesting that he's the one.
Exactly,
a dork.
Which is why it was one of my favorite moments. Anyway, we've accurately predicted that the should we bring Dahani Jones in, emails would be coming shortly. I don't know. I mean, I know he was a big disappointment in Philadelphia, but.
Don says, maybe it's me, but it seems as if the Patriots are always looked at with some scrutiny towards their general philosophy. Before, we were the cold, cheap organization with a one-strike policy, and now we're the harbor for thugs with no integrity. We can't win. We don't get any respect.
Actually, I've been proven wrong the last couple of emails. There have been more guys speaking out against it than I thought there would be.
Dom writes in, that's because you guys have recruited all the negative people to this show.
But what, by saying that we're on board with this?
Because birds of a feather flock together.
I'm very much on board with this trade. I think it's a good trade, Fred.
Dom writes in, one, fan is short for fanatic. We're talking about fans and stuff like that. Two, Moss to Miami would be bad because, A, that's a trade you would make to put you over the top. They're not even close. B, Moss would probably not restructure his contract to go to Miami, so it would have been a greater financial risk. C, they do not have the structure and leadership in place to make it work like New England does, which would add to the risk of Moss being a negative influence in the locker room. Excellent trade for the Pats. Bad trade for almost everyone else. There you go.
Yes, it's only good if he's traded to New England.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when we're assessing something and we're making it the same, the salary's the same. You know, so let's not try to paint this out to be something that's not. We wouldn't be criticizing it if he went to Miami because of the salary. That wouldn't be the reason why you'd be criticizing it. You'd be criticizing it because Miami did it.
Brian says, how did Johnny Most feel about Bill Walton and DJ before they came to play for the Celtics? Shaughnessy should remember that. I guess that DJ had a past.
DJ had a huge past.
You know?
I actually heard that brought up the other day.
DJ, the Celtics actually brought in a lot of guys in that era that weren't necessarily considered team players, and they had a strong locker room, obviously, and they got by. But DJ, yeah, he had a terrible reputation. He had a selfish, me-first reputation coming out of Phoenix.
Another grave Paul stomping on.
All right. Let's see.
Evidently, when you die, that means that no one can ever say anything bad about you. Did you know that, Tom?
Just thought maybe there was like a six-month buffer.
Ouch. Like, why?
I'm just giving you a hard time. I just thought of it. He's dead. It was just a little joke. Relax.
Let's see. Gary Singh writes in, I'm a long-time listener, first-time emailer. With my working lifestyle in the U.S. Army, it's hard for me to chime in every week. I look forward to downloading the podcast edition and listening to you guys talk everything but Patriots. Just kidding. I like what you guys bring to the show and the knowledge, especially from Tom, the Sheriff Casale. And by the way, my last name is pronounced Singh, not Ching or King, like a lot of people do. What a great draft weekend it was. Wasn't surprised at all about Randy Moss trade. Good but not great pick at the number one spot in the first round. I still think they should have given David Harris a chance. But anyways, I think the Patriots are getting their linebackers from either free agency or take a shot at second-day draft picks and sometimes undrafted rookie free agents. Would you guys be surprised, let's say, 3 to 4 years from now, and the Patriots' starting defensive unit would all consist of first-round draft picks with the exception of the linebacking core? Just want to know your take on this. Thanks, guys, and keep up the great work. Well, right now, I mean,
who are the defensive backs that are number one picks besides Merriweather?
Oh, you're saying if
3 to 4 years?
Yeah, they'd have to draft a defensive back every year.
Well, they have two more picks next year. I mean, they could, you know, and
they could,
yeah.
But then by that time, some of the linemen might be gone.
Okay, let's see. We'll close up with Matt from Springfield. He's been listening to a lot of radio, mostly ESPN. Everybody is ripping the heck out of this deal. I think they're just playing hating. If their favorite team got him, they would be climaxing in their pants. Another thing, a while back, you guys were talking about Mike linebackers and their responsibilities and how Brady points him out before every play. If you would go back to the Bears-Pats game last year on Fox, on the first play of the game, Brady points out Urlacher. Urlacher jokingly points back at Brady and starts chuckling. I thought Fox was great to catch that one. It was a hilarious moment.
Wasn't quite so funny later when he was jumping out of your jock, Brian.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be back next Wednesday. Thanks for emailing. Talk to you then.